participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left would be radio. That's just for ugly people.
You're on the air.
Hey, hello?
Hello.
Oh, let me turn down my radio. Cool echo, though. Echo. 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 Wow, not bad. Oh, I'm sorry that I came on right after your depressed woman was on, your caller. Why was she crying?
She hasn't been able to find someone who's willing to admit that they agree with her, that this war is a ghastly disaster and a put-up job. At the moment, Earl feels very alone and isolated, and she's trying to overcome her alienation.
I initially thought that maybe she was depressed because she couldn't guess the secret sound on the Don and Mike show, when in fact it was probably her douchebag hitting the floor.
No, actually, what she heard was you, douchebag. What a brilliant guy.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Your discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
If you could listen to Best Of for prizes, would you? Hey, folks, it's your old buddy Rob, reminding you that while Don and Mike are away, it's your chance to play. Listen very carefully to the Best Of while Don and Mike are on vacation, because when they come back, they will be asking a trivia question that'll help you win $1,000. But remember, you can win if you don't play, and to play, you gotta listen to the Best of Don and Mike.
You know, weird thoughts, and like then today, I'm sitting in that stupid traffic jam. What am I thinking about? Janine Garofalo. I'm thinking.
You have a dream about her or something?
No. I'm thinking maybe I'll rewatch The Trouble with Cats and Dogs or whatever that stupid movie was that she was about.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Is that where she plays the ugly duckling and what's her name from Pulp Fiction's in that movie?
Right, Uma Thurman.
Right.
The highly overrated Uma Thurman. Oh, you give her the Bueno Arbusto. I'm telling you that Uma Thurman is a 7. To me, Uma Thurman is maybe just above Joanna Kearns, who we discussed just a couple of days ago, the mom in her prime on the TV. What would
you had a choice between
Alan Thick show?
If you, hey Mike, Mike,
you're grounded.
Watch out, you'll be grounded. Boy, I wish I could do Janine Garofalo.
If you had a choice between Uma and Janine, who would you do?
Janine, I swear to God.
Oh my God.
Uma Thurman doesn't do it for me, man.
Me either.
She never did it for me, even when she was in a Batman movie.
All right, boys, I'll take her.
Oh, yeah. You can have her. She's a 7. She's a solid 7.
That scene where she turns around and you get that little shot from behind when she's got that little outfit and that poison ivy.
She has that European look.
Mm-hmm. I like that look.
I don't. I like the American look, Mike. Same, you know who else doesn't do it for me? Is Michelle Pfeiffer. Highly overrated. Honey, put on about 40 pounds.
I'm having a feast over here.
Learn how to loosen up, and then maybe I would like you.
You have the same feeling for Michelle?
No, here's where I part company.
Oh, bummer. I was hoping that I'd be able to have both Uma Thurman and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Michelle Pfeiffer, 6.8.
Something's wrong with you.
Nothing's wrong with me.
Something's very wrong with you.
This has nothing to do with Janine Garofalo. If we're just on the topic of women.
Well, I'm sorry. See, that's why I was saying that, because, I mean, coming fresh off the heels of this Janine Garofalo, you're calling Michelle Pfeiffer a 6.8.
Janine Garofalo, a high 4. Okay?
Okay, right. Now I hear you.
I know what I'm dealing with here. Okay. I'm not saying she's a raven beauty. I'm saying that after years and years of saying, well, I'm not a Janine Garofalo fan.
Right.
I am a fan of hers, but oddly, I don't like her.
There's something about her.
Yes.
Yeah. I bet you if Michelle Pfeiffer was in this studio sitting across from you, it would be difficult. Really, I mean,
of course.
You know, if you, it just, I'm saying just on her beauty alone.
Listen, You know, I'm like a dog, though. I mean, I get aroused when Mr. Liddy's secretary walks by our office.
Probably a bad example.
You too.
Nice.
Bueno. Arbusto. Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer.
A 6'8 baby.
Well, who are some other beauties that you don't think are as what they're cracked up to be?
She just came to me.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Michelle Pfeiffer came
to me. Okay, Janine Garofalo or Michelle Pfeiffer?
Janine Garofalo. Listen, that's how I feel.
Very well.
That's how I feel.
Very
well. That's
who
I would do. Hey, come up with more ladies. I love rating women on this show.
Well, I like making the comparisons to Janine Garofalo. This is pretty amazing. I will say the Michelle Pfeiffer one is one I never expected.
Well, Michelle Pfeiffer, I just don't particularly find her extremely good looking.
And
it's very subjective.
She's, you know, and now that you're freshly off the fantasy with Janine Garofalo, I guess I understand.
It's not a fantasy. I'm still a Janine Garofalo hater.
But it's a love-hate thing.
Yeah.
It's the personality that's shining through the looks.
I have to be honest. There's something about Janine Garofalo. As much as I hate her, I don't turn the TV off when she comes on.
I know why you like her.
But last night was the first time I thought of her as a woman. Why? Why do you think I like her?
Because she's trouble.
Yeah. Hello, Donna Mike Show. Yeah.
You like that part of her.
Yeah.
Hello.
Bad girl. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Now, Drew Barrymore would also be trouble.
And Drew Barrymore is a six. And only a six because of what's between her her chin and her belly button. What David Letterman has seen. Drew Barrymore, ooh.
She grosses me out.
Messy.
Yeah, she totally grosses me.
Very messy. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Donna Mike?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Jessica from Austin.
Hello, Jessica.
I'm Mark. I'm trying to convince my coworkers to listen. Did you see the Larry Sanders Show where Janine Garofalo slept with Brett Butler?
Wow. Why are you trying to do this to me? Why are you trying to make me have the night terrors?
Oh, my God. Brett Butler.
There wasn't a scene with Janine Garofalo kissing Brett Butler, was there?
I'd like to point out that there was a day when you also said the same thing about Brett Butler.
Damn your memory. Listen, that was long before Brett Butler got her television show, long before Grace Under Fire.
That's right.
Oh, no, this was, I don't know if it was.
There was something earthy about her that I caught on stand-up one time.
So that scared me, too. That made me feel the same way I do right now. But you know something? Janine Garofalo, in a different league than Brett Butler, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, she's okay. Yeah. I'll rate my wife, too, just in case my wife's listening now. My wife is,
He's in very dangerous territory.
I'm going to be honest now. I think my wife is at least...
Oh, dear.
Let me think about that.
Oh, boy, we're hanging on
Let
this.
Me think about that, okay?
Yeah.
Because if I say 10, she won't believe it.
Okay. Sure. Right, right.
She'll say, oh, you're just blowing smoke.
Give her a good solid 8.
Oh, I was going to go at least 8. There I mean, she's a high 8.
Good. We'll see. I think that's safe because then she'll trust you.
Okay, good. She's a high 8, honey. You're a high 8.
There you go.
And you've been up there. You've been way up there in the past. And I'm sure she would have an equally high rating for me.
Oh, yeah. I think you and I are both going to be in the 3s.
Hello. Yeah, hello.
Hello, Don?
Yes, ma'am.
Once again, I love this conversation. Hi, Mike. Hi, Buzz.
Hello.
Hi, Robbie.
Hi.
No, don't say hello to him.
But I have a question for you. When you're rating all these celebs, that little thing that's on Friends, do you think she's as hot as everybody makes her out to be?
Courtney Cox?
No, not Courtney Cox.
Jennifer Aniston.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yes. And she
Jennifer Aniston.
Hot.
Mm. Yeah, there's a walking, talking 9 right there.
Absolutely.
There. The
combination of T-shirt and sweater couldn't hold her back last night. Did you see last
no
night?
No bra can hold her, Buzz.
You see when she came walking in with the overcoat last night, Buzz? When she came back God.
Yeah, baby.
She was wearing a dress that screamed, I'm Jennifer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she's a 9. She's a solid 9. Right now she's a solid 9.
Yep.
It's good to get your perspective.
All right. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if you've ever heard of the Budweiser rating scale.
I'm sure that's something like the more drinks you have to have, the better she looks, right?
No, it's actually a lower bunch of numbers to remember, 1 to 3, and it's how many Clydesdales it would take to pull her off you.
A
Okay.
You know, I like the originality of that, even though it didn't make much sense.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I got one for you. Here's a girl. I'll tell you what. She'd be a 10 on your list, but she makes herself look like a 6.
Who's that?
Courtney Love.
Courtney Love is lower than Janine Garofalo.
Oh, absolutely.
No. Courtney Love is a high 3, and I'm talking about when she was fixed up in that movie with Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, Bad Road.
Did you see her on The People vs. Larry Flynn?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, she's Bad Road.
Oh, come on, guys.
No, she's a high 3.
Bad I just want to tell you, where did you find a girl, your wife, that let you go to intercourse and let Tyra Banks on the show? You got a heck of a wife, bud.
Oh, don't I know it? But listen, what am I doing? I mean, we went to intercourse, sure.
You got to let me find a woman like that.
Well, my wife's got some sisters. I should rate my wife's sisters. Hey, that would be an interesting conversation for them on their way up to Atlantic City.
That's very cool.
You know, it's my sister-in-law Robin's birthday today. I'm not supposed to say which one because she's turning 40.
Mm-hmm.
So happy birthday, Robin, and we love you, and they're going to have a good time up in Atlantic City.
Right. Happy birthday, Robin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
You know, I don't think I'm going to rate my wife's sisters.
You know, if I rate my wife's sister, I have to give her the exact same grade.
Well, they're not identical, are they, Mike?
Not identical. Well, they're mirror twins.
Yes, but
that means that
there certainly are nuances.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Subtle differences.
When they have the same hair color, and they have different hair color now, when they have the same, when their hair is lighter, they are almost identical to the point where sometimes I have, and I never did before, but one time they had the exact same hair color, and I totally got caught.
If they were naked in front of you, do you think you could tell the difference?
Yeah, well, I think naked, absolutely, because, I mean, naked, then you see other nuances, and I have never seen my wife's sister naked, so I wouldn't be able to tell you, but when they're blonde, I pulled one of these things where, hey, listen, I want to, and then I realized immediately, I'm like,
talking to the wrong one.
Yeah!
The Patty Duke Show.
No! Go away! Bring the real one back here.
It's like a Doublemint ad. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Radio God.
Hey, hi.
Hey, I got a question about Uma Thurman. Do you guys ever see the movie Henry and June?
No.
No.
Anybody else see it?
No.
She
was in that with Fred Ward, and she played this...
Who?
Fred Ward.
Hey, what's the point of this?
Well, she was pretty hot in that movie, man.
Henry and June.
I'm telling you.
Henry and June.
Uma Thurman. You can have her, man. You can have her on a cracker.
Hey, she did a chick in that movie.
See, I think she's got the attitude. That's what, you know, you talk about Janine Garofalo's attitude. I think Uma Thurman's got that attitude.
No way. Oh, Janine Garofalo would kill Uma Thurman in a fight.
I know that would. I know that would happen.
Janine Garofalo could kick some ass.
Oh yeah.
She'd probably beat me up. Probably beat you up too. She could definitely beat you up, Rob.
Yeah.
You could probably whip her ass though, Buzz.
That'd be fun trying.
Hello.
Hey guys.
Hey, Don and Mike.
What Sharon Stone do for you?
You go ahead and go first. I'll think about this.
Absolutely. I've always considered Sharon Stone. You know that. You know from way back. I've always been a big, big fan of Sharon Stone.
Right.
Classically, I give her a good strong 9.
Buzz?
Liked her at first, but her behavior, something about her that I don't like.
That's strictly physical. I'm giving that number based on strictly physical.
And that's the correct way to judge.
Okay.
That's right.
All right.
Get into this, her attitude changed, pal.
Well, if we stick to that, then that changes everything on Janine Garofalo. Well, no, see, I've already stated for the record, Janine Garofalo physically, she's a 4. Uh-huh. She's a 4 or 5 maybe.
And that is where you bring sanity into the equation.
Just let me tell you. You know, when you get to a mid 6, you're starting to, in my weird way of rating,
right?
You know, if you get below a 6, you know, you're in some trouble.
It's trouble, and there's an awful lot required to, you know, to make you presentable.
You better do something like call a liposuction guy or something real fast if you want to be rated higher.
The only thing that ever grossed me out, though, about Sharon Stone and all the movies that I've seen, the thing that I absolutely almost made...
Nice!
Boosh! When she started making out with Joe Pesci. You ever see that in Casino when she makes
it?
It's so gross. Because it's like Joe Pesci. It just didn't work. It works for him shooting people, but I just, it grossed me out.
Sharon Stone's a 7.
Yeah, give her a 9.
7, Buzz?
7, I guess.
5.
I love it when you're sexual, Buzz.
This guy, you giving her a 5?
5, yeah. She does nothing for me.
Who would be a 9 for you?
You know, she doesn't do much for me either, but you got to admit, you know, the woman's got it.
Oh, yeah.
She's got it.
Absolutely.
Got to give her a prop. Simply physically.
Yeah.
Jennifer Aniston to 9.
Okay, I agree with you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Hello.
Hey,
he was starting to tremble.
Don and Mike Show.
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing?
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, got your 10.
Yeah.
Helen Hunt.
No way. Listen, Helen Hunt is a
Helen Hunt is a high 8. When she really gets me in the right mood, she might approach a 9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
I don't think so. Not really. If we're,
Sunday.
If we're, what?
She's going to be on The Simpsons.
I'm going to give Helen Hunt an 8. Not a high 8, but I'm going to give her an 8.
That's a cartoon of Helen Hunt, sir.
Yeah, we can.
How could you possibly rate that sexually?
And I wasn't going to give Helen Hunt that 8 until I saw As Good As It Gets, and then when I saw
that
one scene, she blew through one solid number right there. She went right from a 7 to an 8.
Yeah, she's good. But see, you can't rate her on how great you think she is. And why do all guys, myself included, think that like Helen Hunt is such a great woman? She might be as big a bitch as you've ever been involved with, guys.
Yeah, she's a great actress.
But she has that rap of just being there, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm.
Helen Hunt. But physically,
mm-mm.
She's maybe an 8. You know, a high 8 on her best days.
An 8.
An 8. Hello, Donna Mike.
Don, you need to check your diet, man.
Yeah?
You're a very sick man.
Are you referring to the Janine Garofalo revelation?
Janine Garofalo over Michelle Pfeiffer?
Right.
Look at... What
Michelle Pfeiffer, I'm afraid I'd break her. Look at her. She's like one of those bendy straws.
Yeah, but look at that mouth.
Yeah, I've seen a mouth like that on a fish.
Oh,
on
my
a hook.
God, please.
On a hook, I've seen a mouth like that.
You're out of your mind.
All right, listen, welcome to my madness, friend.
Friend.
Thank you.
Trusted Mike. Friend.
Thank you.
Trusted Mike. Friend.
What?
Mike, we're Gene Baxter and Kevin Ryder telling the truth.
Gene Baxter and Kevin Ryder were lying.
Do you remember how feed out Robert Stack was when we had him on our show last fall?
It's good to see you, boys. I'm very happy to be with you. That's what we're doing right now. We're rating women. Don had a revelation. Driving on the Beltway, he began to fantasize about Janine Garofalo.
Isn't that sick? Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hello.
Hey.
What about Liv Tyler? Oh, she is.
High 7.
What has she been in?
She was in that Tom Hanks movie that I love, that thing you do. She was the girlfriend.
Nah.
Yeah, but
six and a half.
You got to remember her father, too, although you shouldn't hold that against her.
Steven Tyler. Aerosmith, right?
Right. She's a 7.
Beautiful.
What do you give her, Buzz?
Yeah, six and a half.
Good actress, though. She was really a good actress. She played a nice role in that movie.
Oh, who cares about that? Yes, that's right. We're rating simply on physical beauty.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, what do you guys think about Gillian Anderson?
Man, I wish people would call us some more middle-of-the-road women. I'm tired of just rating women that... Well, see, I'm in the minority. Gillian Anderson?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
5.
Well, that's middle-of-the-road.
She's 5, but I know for you, Buzz, you like her, don't you? A lot of the guys think she's hot.
I'm going to say 6, maybe 6.5.
Maybe.
I saw her naked in...
She's too pasty.
Celebrity Sleuth, and based on her breasts,
yeah.
I've got to give her a 6. That normally would have been an 8, so that's a 2-point deduction for Brent.
She likes showing them a lot.
Yes, she does. She likes that cleavage, but that is the Wonder Bra of Wonder Bras, I believe.
She looks to me like 16 candles, like Molly Ringworm.
A lot of rumors about her. Kind of a wild woman, I hear.
Oh, really? Well, how would you rate her, Buzz?
Gillian Anderson?
Yeah.
Again? But still a 6, probably.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Breakfast Club.
What?
Gene Holbrook from the Breakfast Club?
No, come on. Come on, you're going off the scale with that. Let's go to Louisiana. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Happy Mardi Gras, belatedly.
Hey, Marty.
How y'all doing?
Hey, in 32 days until Tyra Banks will be on our show. She'll be here in studio, and then we will fully rate her.
I'm bringing in a tub.
How about Giselle Fernandez?
Oh, Giselle Fernandez?
Yeah.
She's a mid-7.
Really?
Yeah,
I'm surprised at your answer. I'm going to give you that. I think that's right. I'm with you all the way.
Kind of infatuated when we've had her on the show, when we've had her face-to-face, but that wears off.
She is a woman who knows how to sell it.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see her without her makeup on.
How about the news expert, Buzz?
7.5.
Oh, I would have thought you'd have gone higher.
I'd like to see Giselle Fernandez first thing in the morning, no makeup,
no.
Sitting on the toilet.
See, this is not fair.
that's when you would see her really in her real element. That's
imagine if we were able to do that with all the women we've been speaking about.
Yeah.
We just sit there and have big numbers, you know, and just be rating, sitting on little bench chairs.
Hello, Don of my show.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, Goldie Hawn.
Goldie Hawn, listen, man. I got a Goldie Hawn thing. That's an 8. That's a mid-8 Goldie Hawn, I think.
There, we're going to part company. I'm going to cut you in half and give her a 4.
Ouch.
A 4?
A 4.
Oh, boy.
A 4.
Oh, man.
You should check your shorts during the next break.
A 4. A 4. A 4, yes. I've never understood.
Especially consider how old she is. She's 50, man. Take a look at her.
Yeah, but I mean, I felt the same way about her for, you know, since the laughing days.
Really?
Like, go with her age. Go with Stephanie Powers.
Oh, she's cute. She's really cute. What do you give her?
Years ago, an 8. Today, a 7, probably. Still a strong 7 for Goldie Hawn.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Bye-bye. I swear to God, do a whole show like this.
I am having a... I just want to pass along a very good time right now.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Great.
Hey, first of all, Donnie, I think you're right on.
Right, baby.
I love your scale. Mike, I don't know where you are, but... That's a great scale. I think Uma does nothing for me, nor does Michelle.
Well, that's fine, sir. Wow. That you're entitled to your opinion.
Oh, no, I'm stuck on your case.
As wrong as it may be.
Oh, let me ask you. Let's find out. Janine Garofalo, first Raider, and then tell me if you could ever picture yourself with her.
4 and not with a 10-foot pole.
All right, see, we're really not that much alike, are we?
No, that's true. That's true. I never claimed to be you. Dharma.
Oh, Dharma?
Jenna.
Hello, 5.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, I'm going to give her a 4.5. I'm going lower than that. Dharma doesn't do it.
She is ugly.
5.
You think so?
She is butt ugly, man.
Mm.
How'd she ever get on television?
I don't know.
Okay, well, I guess you're out there on your own now, aren't you, mister?
Enjoy life on the island.
You thought I would be there with you, eh?
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
You got a big picture of Dharma in the newspaper today, and it's just like,
dang. Hello?
Hey, how you doing today?
Hey, you're doing great, thank you.
Hey, what about Terry Hatcher from Tango and Cash and Sandra Bullock?
All right, Terry Hatcher, I'll take care of that right now. 5.
Right.
Terry Hatcher, 5. Nothing for me. Listen, she reminds me of a bad girl.
Like a naughty girl?
Yes, when I see, and I mean, you know, the bad kind of girls. You know, like, she has a look of a prostitute to me. I have never liked her. Even when she was Lois Lane, I didn't like her. However, Sandra Bullock, she's a high 7. A high 7. Mike?
I'm going to give Terry Hatcher a good, solid 7. And I will give Sandra Bullock...
Yeah.
3.
Oh, man.
You cad. And that one is that. That's based
I'm
on
taking
that
all of your privileges away.
That is the one where, you, based on seeing her first thing in the morning, I guarantee you would be disappointed.
She's a cute girl. Sandra Bullock, she's really cute. I bet she's cute without makeup.
And I'm sorry, I reacted honestly there, but I give her low grades. I just had to give her a 3 because I felt so passionate about it.
Ted Buzz?
7 for Sandra Bullock, 7.5 for Terry Hatcher. There's a movie with Terry Hatcher where she was walking around dressed like a prostitute, as a matter of fact, with big hair. Mm-hmm. And I must say, it was a look that I just was passionate about.
She looks like a skinny Monica Lewinsky. She doesn't do it for me. Let's take one last call. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
How about 3 choices? Julia Roberts, Jodie Applegate, and Tori Spelling.
Oh, those are all over the scale. All right.
I know that.
Julia Roberts. Hello, 3.
I agree.
Take a look at Julia Roberts. Take a look. She looks like her brother Eric Roberts.
That's always the good angle to go. If you're going to be doing an attack on Julia, go for her brother.
She's not a pretty woman. Her face is not... It's not done the right way. She got her forehead is too puffy. Her nose is way big and blocky. Her lips are big and puffy. She got some bad chin action there. No. Julia Roberts is a 3. Let's just stick with her. I'm passionate about Julia Roberts.
We agreed for a while there. We actually had a couple where we were coming in on the same one. All right, so we're sticking with Julia Roberts?
Yeah.
All right, Julia Roberts, 8.5.
8.5.
5.5.
See, there's all. Listen to the variations.
Yeah, better range.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, Donna Mike.
Hi.
Renee Zellweger from Jerry Maguire and Empire Records. She is hot.
Is that the love interest for Jerry Maguire?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
She's a 6'5".
I agree. 6'5".
Oh, she was awesome. I mean,
great actress. Truly great actress.
But we're just rating her as a woman.
Going to be a big star, but a 6'5".
Buzz?
Yeah, 6'5".
Well, that's it. That's one of the few that we all agree on, sir.
How about Julia Roberts? 2?
We already did Julia Roberts.
Pay attention.
I'm piping in. 2.5.
All right, whatever. Thank you.
Later.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Donna Mike, how you doing, guys?
Yeah, hi.
Ellen Barkin.
Skittle face?
It's a wonderful, wonderful obscure reference there.
Don't be knocking on her. She's hot.
Ellen Barkin. She's a 5'5".
Buzz, you go. I'm 5.0 for me on her.
I'm going to have to answer that later. I got to give that some thought. I'm sorry, guys.
All right. That's all right.
Ask Charlie Stossel when you talk to him what he thinks of her.
You know, since we're talking about Ellen Barkin, can I throw one in here?
Sure.
The vacation lady, all right? Beverly D'Angelo.
Oh.
Yeah, she is difficult, isn't she? She's in that same category as Barkin.
All right. High seven. High seven.
Yeah.
Something about her.
Yeah, I agree.
High seven.
Again, and you know, we're talking in her prime.
Even
if you've seen Vegas Vacation, man.
Yeah, well, she looks great in Vegas Vacation.
Yeah. Well, she got that overbite.
Wayne Newton, I'm glad to be in your house.
Do you notice that this is becoming more prominent? Wayne Newton in that movie, too. That's worth the whole
movie. Oh, yeah.
What do you give her, Buzz?
Five.
Five
for her.
Five.
Five.
And I based that on a shower scene in the original Vacation.
Don't we all?
Yes.
Hello, Donna, Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Don, you're a seven. Mike, you're an eight. Buzz, you're a ten.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, you're all wrong there.
Have you been drinking?
All right, well, thank you.
It's what's inside.
Thank you.
Right.
It's what's inside. No, this is strictly a beauty contest.
Yeah.
That's why we're all ten.
Imagine me in the morning.
Thanks for your seven. Thank you for your seven. Obviously, you've never seen me first thing in the morning on a toilet. You would have rated me much higher.
You're at your pretty.
Right. When I'm in my element. All right. Goodbye there, Michelle.
Okay. Goodbye. Bye, Brian.
Bye-bye. Oh, who was that? Her friend? We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, WCXS 94.5, Fairfax, Virginia, also Warner Cable 27. How y'all doing out there? The Tom Gavin Show right here. Fairfax, Virginia, it's snowing out there. Guys, watch the road. It's icy. It is icy out there, guys. Give us a call, 560-55. We're going to have Incredible Johnson coming on next after these commercials. We're going to be running some PSAs.
Fairfax Annandale Weston, 94.5 WCXS, Fairfax, Virginia.
Yeah, that's right. WCXS 94.5, Fairfax, Virginia. Also, Warner Cable 27. How y'all doing out there, guys? Today is my anniversary on my show today. Give me a call, WCXS 94.5, Fairfax, Virginia. Also, Warner Cable 27. How y'all doing out there? I got a special request. The people of it, WNVT, Channel 53 and 56. Fred just called in. Give us a call back, Fred, if you need any more requests. Yeah, hey y'all doing out there? This is the Tom Gavin Show. Everybody over there at Channel 53 can call 560-55.
The Don and Mike Show. Smoother than a fresh anal waxing. The Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, you guys are really great.
Molly.
You're one of the best things about being retired. I get the show every day.
Can I interest you in a magnet?
Oh, listen, I got to tell you something.
Yes.
No.
Stand up. Hold on a second on the phone there, please.
Yes.
Mike, would you stand up, please?
Uh-huh.
Turn around. Is it there, Rob?
I can smell it from here.
No, I don't.
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, hold on. What?
Buzz is goofing on you.
So, no, it's not that old. No,
he put a paper clip on me, right?
He threw it on you as you walked by.
Yeah, and I found it. I found it. I knew somebody did that.
Oh.
I know you did that.
Buzz came right in. For Buzz, that's like juvenile delinquency. Buzz came in. He looked so guilty. He said, I've got to tell you. Mike was walking by, and I threw a paper clip on it, and it stuck.
And it stuck. The magnet's working.
Yeah, I've been very bad.
You're very bad. That's putting a kick me sign on my back.
No, it's not the same.
Okay. Hello?
How you doing?
Old guy, hi.
Yes, I'm an old guy, but I got to tell you, you're the thing that makes retirement wonderful. I got to also tell you that I've heard you and Frieda and Brett and Bart, not Brad, Bart, for about a year and a half.
Yeah.
You can't do everything wrong because you've done everything right in that respect.
Oh, I got a great family.
That's what a nice
thing
to say. I
love it when they talk. I really do.
Oh, thanks.
That's about it.
How's your prostate?
Oh, I'm going radiation right now.
Oh, my.
No, you're kidding. You're not. That, tell me that's not true.
No, it's true.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Really? Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
But, here we were playing
the
odds.
I should try bending spoons.
I like chemo. You didn't lose your hair.
Good luck. Hope they clear that up for you.
Oh, I do, too, but I just love the show.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. God bless you. See you later.
Very nice.
Bye-bye.
Who'd have thunk it?
Preston.
Make a little prostate comment, and he's going to get it fixed.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm from the Eastern Shore of Maryland. I'd like to talk to Don and Mike about their station in Seaford and Ocean City.
Yeah, you're talking with us now.
Oh, I'm so stupid.
Right.
You're cutting you guys off at 5 minutes to seven.
Buddy, that's what our network does if we haven't played all the commercials. That has nothing to do with the local station.
I got out of my tractor. I've been planting corn all day, and I've been wanting to tell you since you come on the air. At least it's nice to hear you in FM now instead of AM.
Beautiful. All right. Thank
all right.
you.
All right, guys.
Hope you have a good corn crop there, farmer.
I'll try.
Bye-bye.
Oh!
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Buddy.
Hey, I wanted to tell you, I was down in Vegas this weekend. I'm originally from Reno, and I ran into your buddy Shotgun Tom Kelly.
Shotgun Tom.
Oh, Shotgun Tom Kelly. You know, he's doing afternoons now at K-Earth in L.A.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah, he got a great gig.
Excellent.
Yeah, he gave me his card and stuff, but he was hosting some kind of Mardi Gras thing down there on Fremont Street. It was just kind of weird when I heard his voice, and he said, "This is Shotgun Tom Kelly." I'm like, hey, Don and Mike talk about that guy. So I went up and talked to him.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Man. He's a good guy. You know, we had him on our show.
Right.
I guess about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, when we were on in San Diego. The guy was a super legend in San Diego.
Right.
And he'd been out of the radio business because he was so bummed out about it and stuff.
Right.
So we talked to him on the show and got him a little jacked up. And then, you know, I talked to him off the air a little bit.
Good.
And I think I'm one of the reasons he got motivated to get back into the business.
Yep.
And now he's got himself a great gig out in Los Angeles.
One of those great radio voices, too, which I love listening to him when he was on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, anyways...
He's kind of a big load, though, isn't he? Was he wearing a Smokey the Bear hat?
Actually, he was. He was wearing, like, a tuxedo, and then it kind of looked like an Amish black hat.
That's his big trademark.
I bet that hat, if you took it off, would smell worse than my magnet.
Oh,
I bet it would be a battle. I bet it would be close.
Just remember, see me in August.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
How you doing? I got a Who Would You Do.
Okay.
Denise Richards or Alyssa Milano?
Who's Denise Richards?
Did you see Wild Things?
Oh, no. You mean the lady, the girl that's with Nev Campbell?
Yeah, she's that little hottie.
Oh, all
right.
Okay.
Never heard of.
I do her.
Me too.
I do Alyssa Milano.
Oh, you would?
Yep. She's been danzified, Mike.
Oh, yeah, that's
remember,
right.
Remember, she at least had to spend time with Tony Danza.
Oh, you know they had a thing.
Oh, Angela, Tony Danza. Oh, Buzz, did you want to weigh in on that?
Alyssa, I guess. Tough call.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, let's speak of Don and Mike.
I like it when Buzz plays because Buzz brings a level of authority to it.
Yeah, credibility.
Right. Like when we say it, people go, oh, those guys are disgusting.
Sure.
Discussing which women they'd have sex with. Right. But Buzz does it.
Yeah, when he says tough call, you know it's a tough call.
Yeah. Tough call.
Tough call.
People go, yeah, that Buzz is right.
I'm an authority on it.
Hello.
Who would you do?
Hello.
Don.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Great.
Hey, I want to tell you about my operation.
What operation?
Yeah, I had an appendix in my gallbladder taken out.
Your what? Your appendix and your what?
And my gallbladder taken out.
Your appendix and your gallbladder.
Right, but I tried to, when I got out of the recovery room, they wouldn't cut your program on. I said, hey, look, cut on Don and Mike. They said, oh, well, we can't do that.
Did you say cut it on?
No, he wouldn't.
Mike, this is a brother.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Cut it on would mean turn it on, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
I
understand. Oh, I'm still trying to bring myself up to speed with the lingo.
Yes, brother man, I'm here.
Yeah, but I couldn't understand why they wouldn't do that. And I'm saying, hey, look, I'm paying all this money here, and you got me groggy. Why don't you cut it on?
I don't know, man.
I had a funny thought. You wanted them to cut on the program after you had been cut on.
Right. Absolutely. Thank you.
All I know is you got game. You got game. He got game.
He got game?
He got game.
Is that some sort of problem?
No. He got game. It's good if you got game.
It's good if you got game.
Yeah. You got game, Mike.
Do I have I got game?
Rob, you have no game.
And I'll play main game with you.
Okay. Buzz, give us one very quickly.
Larry.
Larry Sanders.
Larry Holmes.
Larry Michaels.
All right, Larry King.
Larry Bud Melman.
Goodbye.
Oh.
Larry Hagman.
Larry Leoretti.
Larry Three Stooges Larry.
Larry Bird.
Good one. Larry Lujack.
Oh.
Larry Lujack. Super Jock.
Larry.
Mm. King of the Larrys.
Larry.
King of the Larrys.
Very Larry close. Flint.
Oh. Will you give me Larry Zeiger? Because it's different from Larry King?
Yes.
Thank you. Larry Zeiger.
Larry Zeiger.
That's Zeiger's, that's King's real name.
Right.
Zeiger. Oh. Well, let's finish the game and then I'll tell you about a copy of a book we've received that has all kinds of stuff about Larry King.
Oh, good.
All kinds of stuff about him.
Did you say Larry King?
Yes, and Zeiger.
Okay, Larry Zeiger. Larry.
Yeah?
Larry Poppins. Larry.
King of the Larrys.
Larry, just give me one more second, please.
King of the Larrys.
Larry.
King of the Larrys.
Larry Boa.
Oh! That was bluffing. I don't have another one.
Oh.
All right, hold on a second. Hold on. Number 66 from your Miami Dolphins, Larry Little. A guard.
Did you have Larry Zonka?
Oh, that's a good one.
You said Miami Dolphins. That popped into my
head. Oh, that's a killer. Yes. Larry. Larry. My name is Larry. This is Larry. Oh, come on now. Come on. Don't fold now. Think. Think. Concentrate. Don't think about the show. Think about Larry. 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 Larry Linville. MASH.
Oh!
Good one. God, I thought you were done.
Yeah. Larry. Larry Hogan.
Who's that?
He's somebody.
I never heard of him.
I don't know who it is. Larry.
I don't know either.
All right. Hold on, Larry. Oh.
Larry. Larry.
Larry.
Larry.
Larry. Larry. You had Larry Hagman, right?
Yeah.
Larry.
Yeah. Close to victory.
Larry.
You're king of the Larry.
Yeah. Who are you trying
to signal?
That
was a battle.
Larry Storch.
F. Larry Storch. I wouldn't have gotten that one.
Larry.
Larry.
Hello, all you Larrys.
Larry.
I'm your new king.
That was a good one.
Every Larry, bow and kiss my feet. I'm king of you Larrys. Hello. A Don and Mike show. Hello.
Oh, I got to turn the telephones back on.
Hello.
Hey, did you have Larry Gelbart?
Ah, another good Larry.
Okay. Hey,
easy to play after the game's over.
Yeah, Monday morning quarterbacking is very easy.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know today was Tony Danza's birthday.
Really? What are we doing here then?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought you guys should know that.
Right, incredible talent that is Danza. Hello.
Larry Williams. Larry Williams, the big one.
I can't believe I didn't have Larry Williams.
Uh-oh. What are we going to have? Oh, Larry Williams. Right.
Larry Williams.
The Dickman.
Yep.
Danza on ice. When are we going to have that? I don't know what made me think of that. I'm just thinking, Tony Danza,
right.
Ice Follies, mm-hmm. His career failing,
mm-hmm.
No one going to Ice Follies,
right.
Danza on ice.
Absolutely. And you could have a look-alike. You wouldn't have to use the real guy.
Hello? Could be like Gallagher.
Sure.
You can have two Danzas.
Danza on ice.
Hello?
Me?
Yeah, Don and Mike show. Hello?
Larry Tate from Bewitched.
Listen. Okay, we're going to tell you one more time. Real easy to sit behind the scenes.
No, it was during.
Especially, you know, when we wait 12 minutes for you to go, me?
It's easy to hide behind a telephone, son.
Yes, it is. At least you understand that concept.
Thank you, Dietka. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you guys forgot one.
We're going to make an example out of you.
Yeah, check it out. Larry Holmes.
We had Larry Holmes.
Oh, well, you got it again.
So you didn't pay attention, did you?
Yeah, I was for noise.
No,
you didn't.
I didn't have enough money to pay attention.
I didn't have enough money to pay attention.
Sorry, we had to blow him up real good.
Oh, yeah.
Another one out of the park. That's one for the fans outside the stadium today.
I do like that, though. That's an excuse that a lot of people can use sometimes. Yeah. I didn't have enough money on me to pay attention.
Hey, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, it's Rob from Ocean City.
Hi, Rob. Okay, thank you.
Boy, I hope he's all right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, patient Dr. Homo.
Only if it's a serious emergency.
I have some gum in my hair.
He has gum in his hair,
Gum
Dr.
in your hair.
Do you have any prescription for dealing with gum in your hair?
Mike, I can't speak until Dr. H actually enters the studio.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another visit from the man who solves all your medical dilemmas, Dr. Homo.
Paging Dr. Homo. Paging Dr. Homo. We need you in the air studio, stat.
Hello. This is Dr. Lance Homo.
Lance.
Yes.
Hello?
No, that was his first name.
I don't have an HMO. I have an HOMO. Can I help you, please?
Yes, Dr. Homo. I have some gum in my hair.
Gum in your hair? How did that happen?
I was watching a flick.
All right, listen, that's really not important. Why don't you let those trousers down?
They're already down, sir.
All right, now if you would please pull down your skivvies.
Doing it, sir. They are.
Now we're just going to take your temperature.
Thank you.
Thank you, he says.
Thank you for coming to see Dr. Homo.
Thank you, doctor. Feel much better.
See, that's it. Problem solved. You know, it's amazing that Dr. Lance Homo, with everyone that comes into his office, all he ever does is take their temperature and...
Sometimes I make prescriptions, Mike. Sometimes I prescribe some penicillin.
Oh.
But I didn't think that this young boy needed it. But come back tomorrow. I'll take your temperature again and again and again.
Same time, sir.
Thank you. Hello. Donna Mike. Hi.
Hi. I'd like to speak to Don, please.
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Hi. I have some news for Dr. Homer.
Yes.
Culture Club's going on tour this summer.
Yeah.
Oh, he likes Culture Club.
Paging Dr. Homo. Paging Dr. Homo. We need you in the air studio. Stat.
Karma, karma, karma. Karma, karma, chameleon. It is my hope to take Boy George's temperature on his upcoming tour.
Maybe Dr. Lance Homo, if you're fortunate, you can be the touring doctor for the Culture Club roadshow.
Oh. Every day I say, George O'Dowd.
Sure.
Let me take your temperature.
Be the only rock group that gets a physical before every show.
George, you're not looking well. Let me just take your temperature real quickly.
That's right. George O'Dowd and Dr. Lancelot Homo.
Pull down those baggy 80s style pants. Take off your hat and let's take that temperature.
The Culture Club Reunion Tour, sponsored by Dr. Lance Homo.
Listen, I'm sorry. I have to go, Boy George. Rick Astley just called. And he's in terrible pain.
Oh, no, dear.
I love Rick Astley.
Oh, all your favorite song artists of the 80s.
Rick Astley. Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Hi. Don and Mike.
Yeah.
How you doing, my brothers?
Great, thank you.
Don, yeah, you said you're on a diet, right?
Right.
I'm having problems with some weight, and I'm wondering maybe what would be my best bet.
Right. Stop eating, okay? I'll be very bold with you. Stop eating.
Stop eating.
Stop eating.
I can do that.
All right, well, then you will always be a load. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, what do you want, some hints from me? That's what I do it. I run 3 times a week, and I don't eat.
All right, well, then you will always be a load.
Oh, well, there you go. Now I know he heard my advice.
Now he got it twice because he turned his radio up. He said, don't eat.
That's it. Really, that's it?
Yeah.
All I've had to eat today is broccoli.
I take your advice, but it's just no fun.
Yeah.
No fun at all.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. And even not eating. Even eating just broccoli and then eating crap at night. Mm-hmm. I still weigh 211 pounds. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello. I got a song for you.
Yeah. Oh, well,
there it is. Did you hear that?
Yeah. Please tell me that that's just a station playing that song and that you don't actually have that tape.
Oh, I got it. You want to start it over?
What do you have? Is it their greatest hits?
Awesome 80s.
Awesome 80s.
Yeah. Awesome 80s.
What else is on there?
Oh, it's got, it's like 100, oops, turn off my radio. Oh, it's got like 100 songs.
Really?
Awesome and totally 80s.
What are some of the cuts on that awesome 80s?
Rick Springfield, Jesse's Girl.
Oh, I love him.
Dr. Homo favorites.
Let me pull out the page. Trying not to get into a car accident. All right, here we go.
Eddie Wright said Fred.
That's 90s.
How about Spandau Ballet?
Yeah,
oh,
true.
They're dreamy. Oh, that's such a pretty one.
Take
true.
True.
You know, you got that way of expressing oneself in a musical selection.
Yeah.
During the 80s, it was always,
which was kind of a follow-up on Styx.
Sure.
I am the modern man. Secret, secret. Babe, I'm leaving.
I've got a secret.
All right, well, pick a very lame one out. And let's play. Don't tell us. Let's play a quick name that tune.
All right.
Pick a real lame one out.
Very good.
All right, hold on.
Or this will be like Stump the Stoop.
Sure.
Like, name that tune.
And
come on, no pressure.
No, wrong one.
Missing you. John Wick.
Here we go.
Very good.
Too Shy by Kaja Goo Goo.
Yeah. All right.
Always something that'll remind me. Naked Eyes.
Oh, this is a good one. This one's a good one. You'll know this one.
Wang Chung.
Yeah.
Everybody Wang Chang tonight.
Go in.
Ever knows this? I'm like Rain Man.
You are a DJ.
I am.
No, I am.
Well, I am too.
Oh, no, you're not.
For private parties.
Right. Hey, you give all DJs a bad name, my friend.
No, I don't
say
a word.
Wait, quiet, sir. I want to hear the song.
Tone Loke.
There you go.
Wild Thing.
Did a wild thing on my leg. Jump.
There you go.
Oh, that was a tie. Very good. All right, one more. Escape Club, Wild Wild West.
Oh, you are the bomb.
You know what? You're
in the Wild Wild West.
What's even better is doing it over the phone, because it's harder to recognize over the phone.
All right, give me one more.
All right. Hold on. I don't think that was a good one. There you go.
Caribbean Queen.
Billy Ocean, man.
This is Billy Ocean. Caribbean Queen.
Yeah.
Billy Ocean.
The 80s. The best hits of the 80s.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks. Bye.
All right, bye. Hi, Donna Mike Show. Hello.
You know, for a professional disc jockey, he sure worked that CD player well.
Hello.
What?
Hello.
That's a hang-up call, Mike.
Oh, man, I hate it when that happens.
We're up on a break, and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Nothing is more important than the simple act of people getting together.
Good. Could I have one more go, Wilson, please? Sorry.
What?
Could I have just one more take of that, sir?
Why? I just did it right.
Yeah.
Now, look, I'm not used to having more than one person in there. One more word out of you and you go. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
I take directions from one person under protest. But for two, I don't sit still. But who the hell are you, anyway?
No, I'm the engineer.
Well, why the hell are you asking me for another one?
Well, I thought there was a slight gonk, and I would like, just like we say.
What is a gonk? Do you mind telling me what that is?
A bang from outside.
A bang from outside.
We know a remote farm in Lincolnshire where Mrs. Buckley lives. Every July, peas grow there. Do you really mean that?
So in other words, I'd start half a second late.
Don't you think you really want to say July over the snow? Isn't that the fun of it?
If you can make it almost when that shot disappears, it'll make my...
I think it's so nice that you see a snow-covered field and say every July peas grow there. We know a remote farm in Lincolnshire where Mrs. Buckley lives. Every July, peas grow there. We aren't even in the fields, you see.
Yeah, we aren't.
We're talking about them growing, and she's picked them.
Yeah.
On what?
In July.
I don't understand you, then. What must be over for July?
When we get out of that snowy field.
When I was out, we were onto a can of peas, a big dish of peas, when I said in July.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, always. I'm always past that.
You are?
Yes. Well, that's about where I say in July.
You emphasize a bit in July.
Why? That doesn't make any sense. Sorry. There's no known way of saying an English sentence in which you begin a sentence with in and emphasize it. Get me a jury and show me how you can say in July and I'll go down on you. That's just idiotic, if you'll forgive me by saying so. That's just stupid. In July. I'd love to know how you emphasize in and in July. Impossible. Meaningless.
I think all they were thinking about was that they didn't want to.
He isn't thinking.
Wilson, can we just do one last
thing? Yeah?
It was my fault. I said in July. If you can leave every July.
You didn't say it. He said it.
Every July.
Your friend. Every July?
So after the show.
No, you don't really mean every July.
It is. That's
bad copy. It's in July. Of course it's every July. There's too much directing around here.
The Don and Mike Show.
Well, you're getting better. That's the important thing. You look better, too.
If you're going to lie to me, tell me there's a broad waiting in the car. I want to tongue my...
Hey, you want that? It's a phone call away.
Testicle. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Oh, so that's your secret. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, boys, I just want to tell you something. Your queer games at the end of the show may be coming to an end.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I heard the fun you were having last night when I left a little early.
No.
To go to that family dinner. I heard that, and I want to tell you something. Sickened me, Mike.
Really? I want to tell you that last night over the console, because when you step out, of course, Rob moves over to the controls.
Yeah.
Over the console, high shot into his mouth.
It was really
amazing. It was amazing. And did you hear his reaction, his unbridled joy when he...
Yeah, sounded like a seal. You know when a seal catches something, and seal goes...
It was raw animal joy. It could have been here.
There's a very queer ending to the show every day that Mike and Rob do it. I'm thinking that maybe that might be retired.
No, don't take that away from us, please.
Just thinking about it.
Please don't take that away from us.
And I wasn't even thinking about it until you two started looking at each other here in the beginning of the show.
He's not here now. As I said to Rob, he's not here to spoil our fun.
Yeah, baby. That would be so funny if you two guys were queer for each other.
No.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
How do you know we're not?
Because we're too much like father and son. It would be too weird.
All right. Yeah.
Oh, that's kinky, too.
That's pretty gross. Let's move on.
All right, Roberto.
Okay, I can't continue this charade. And once the nausea factor really enters into it, and I start doing my own little mental play of me and you, it's about the most disgusting thing I could ever picture.
Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak doing Buzz Burbank's 10 things.
I've got the list.
Oh, no. Put it away. Do you have it really, Buzz? Do you have it there? Bring it out.
Oh, God.
Bring it out. We'll just think about Mike and Rob.
No.
You know, this would be a good way to end that end of the show thing once and for all.
No, don't take that away.
I'm just wanting you.
No.
But I do want to listen to the list.
Oh, God.
Tight. Oh, so tight, even when we're doing a homo talk here.
Boy, I'm trying to keep up with this thing, and now the nausea is beginning to permeate my soul.
All right. Now, if Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak were lovers, 10 keys that Buzz Burbank would have for them to have a good sexual relationship.
Well, I'm assuming we'll make Mike a man here. So
thank you. Thanks, Buzz. For at least that, Buzz.
Yeah, I think you're correct.
Mike gently kisses and caresses Rob.
Oh, you know, I don't like being the man now.
Remember, Buzz wrote these.
That's right, Buzz. I don't like it either way. It doesn't matter.
Buzz wrote these originally for a couple that came on our show that was having a problem with intimacy.
Right, right.
The step two, Rob would strip for Mike.
Step three.
Let's see. At this point, Mike would kiss Rob, his lips, ears,
whole list, Buzz,
neck, and breasts. And if this were to happen, step four would be then Rob would return the favor.
Doing what?
Kissing Mike's lips, chest, and of course, genitals.
Step number five.
Just keep going as slow as you can, Buzz.
My knees are wobbling. Step five.
Yeah.
This one's okay. They simply embrace.
An embrace.
Yeah, we've done that many times.
Things cool off a little there. Number six. Well, it's that time. Mike orally pleasures Rob. That would be
okay.
If we were to follow.
Yeah, I understand.
Step number eight. Keep moving, Buzz.
Step number eight. Seven, return the favor. Eight, reverse the favor.
Mm-hmm.
And nine, dealer's choice. They could do whatever they wanted at that point.
I think that might be shoot myself in the head at that point.
And finally, then, what was your number 10 step, Buzz?
Number 10, the actual merging, the actual act itself.
What is it? Come on, read what you wrote down.
No, the word here is intercourse.
All right. Okay. All right. Isn't he? Can't you move him away from that? Have you read your thing yet?
Yeah.
No.
All right.
No, we haven't. We're starting the show all over again, Mike.
Oh, God. Please.
Buzz Burbank and his list of 10 ways to a successful romance.
There you go. And nice to see that that works for men and women, Buzz.
Yeah. Mike, be proud. You're pitching, not catching.
Thank you. Thank you, Don. Appreciate that.
Hello, gorgeous.
Hi, Mike. Hello, Don.
All right, let's hear it, Robay.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Bretta and all the ships at sea. Providing entertainment that's more reliable than a German bullet train, it's the Don and Mike Show.
Making
don't laugh at that. That's in bad taste.
All right. I just don't want to look at you anymore, like for the rest of the month.
Shower. Hey, that's a funny concept of Mike and Rob being lovers.
I'm glad you think so.
Hello and thank you for listening.
Well, a funny concept to you will make me wake up at like 3 in the morning screaming.
What is it, Mike? What is it?
No! Coast to Nation finds the best. Wood Von Darlis, Don Geronimo with Mike O'Mara right here. That's why we still call it your cotton picking Don und Mike Show.
I believe I need some sort of Alka-Seltzer product.
Coming to you from the studios of WJFK in Washington, D.C. Well, listen, they have finally put in a security system here in the building.
Oh, yes, yeah. They have.
But you realize that if you don't want to take the time to try to punch the code in,
yeah,
that you can simply slide open the double glass door and just climb in over the receptionist's desk.
Yes, the double glass door, which is made with, I believe, the same kind of glass that's used in model airplanes.
You know what I mean? I mean, they went to all the trouble of putting in this space-age security system, and you have to type in an elaborate code now to get into the building. But
right.
At the whole time, there's like there's the secretary's desk, and then she has a big window right in front of her.
Yeah, a big window that your average Hardee's window is thicker glass.
The glass
than the window
is so thin you couldn't even use it for a coffee table.
Well, there's not even a lock on it, is there?
No.
No.
Right, I mean, that's my point. What's
the point? I agree. What's the point of having a security code to get in this big, thick, heavy security door when, meanwhile, 5 inches to the right...
All you got
to
do is slide open a little glass thing, and you climb over the desk, and boom, you're in. You shoot us all.
Yeah.
Well, hey, listen, it's WJFK in Washington, D.C. That's where we do the show from. Going to be tight again right here. Tight, oh, tight, baby. Tight. Our show is on Westwood One Entertainment.
And as Dan said to me yesterday, the back door is always open, too.
Yeah.
59 affiliate stations and over 4 million listeners. And we thank you for your patronage. And here he is to my left and to your right, radio buddy Buzz Burbank. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
You know, someday, maybe today's not the day, but someday soon, we're going to have that discussion with Dan Ryson, our chief engineer.
That discussion about the door.
Security?
Yeah. Listen, let me call my wife first, because right. I think she's got somewhere to go.
Good.
I want to report on our evening last night.
You were a little uptight about that last night.
I was a little uptight.
Mm-hmm.
It went fine. I mean, listen, it went more than fine.
Good.
But I don't want to be the one to tell you, because you might not believe me.
And you kept the beard. Or did you shave it?
My face is such a mess. Look what I did.
What did you do, trim it?
I just shaved on my chin.
Okay.
Because that'll be the first.
But you didn't really shave on your chin. I mean, you're usually...
No, I shaved here. Right here on the chin, where it was all growing out.
What, are you growing like a Fu Manchu? No.
Well, if I had the face of a normal man,
yeah,
right now I'd have, like, mutton chops coming in. See, Rob, look very close at my face. Hi, honey.
Hi, okay, yeah.
Can you see the very, very light trace of some actual whiskers?
Like John Quincy Adams.
It looks like if your whiskers were sparkles, you'd have sparkles down on your cheeks.
My wife thinks I look like a retard like this.
I just don't know why you just don't give it up, my sugar bear. I mean, it's not your strong suit. Don't worry about it. I mean...
But listen, I'm almost 40. Wouldn't you think at some point some hormone or something would kick in and I'd be able to grow something on my face?
No. Some people have thick head of hair. You never had thick hair, you know, even when before you, you know, it started male pattern stuff.
Right. Hello, honey.
It was never... It's not thick. I mean, it's not a bad thing. I don't even care for beards. You just...
Well, I'm not giving up on it. That's the whole point.
Please do. For tomorrow.
For tomorrow? What is tomorrow?
For tomorrow is an evening of love.
All right. Now, you don't want to discuss this on the radio. I just wanted to talk with you about our fabulous dinner last night. See, I don't know why tomorrow night we're having to have an evening of love that's prearranged.
It's her birthday this weekend, right?
Yeah, our birthday is not till Sunday,
because...
though. And Mike? I've already got all of that handled.
Ooh.
Oh, good. All of that done days in advance.
You already got your Pop-Tarts?
Got the Pop. What did I tell you I was going to do, honey?
And the other thing is, I'm only going to be 43.
Yeah, I thought she was going to be 44.
Oh, dear.
So that means I'm going to have to go to the store and buy the big three to put on the second Pop-Tart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or you can actually just buy the goo that goes on cakes like I did. I used actually a cake decorating goo on the Pop-Tart itself, so I didn't put the number on.
I
put a lot of effort into it.
When I went to the store today, I actually bought the big number that I'm going to put on top of the Pop-Tarts. I told my wife, I said, for your birthday, you're going to get a birthday in bed a la Mike O'Mara.
Mm-hmm. Great.
I'm going to bring up a couple of Pop-Tarts that has her age on them.
Oh, that'll be good for a whole summer of fun for you.
So listen, what's up with Friday night?
So we're just going to have some romance. I mean, that's a good thing. I've got a CD. I've got massage oil.
Ooh, massage oil.
I have to pick
oil.
Up the candles. You know, it's just going to be a nice romantic evening.
All right. Well, I'm all for romance, but I just want you to know that the Bulls come on Friday night at 9:00, and you know that's kind of important to me.
Well, let me see. How much time do we have? You get home at say 8:15.
I get home by 8:00.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have a good hour for romance.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
And what are we going to do with the other 55 minutes?
She's a lot wackier than she was yesterday. Isn't she? Yesterday when she was on the show, she was all wound up. All worried about me screwing up the evening with her brother. Listen, the reason that I called
Mike... You know what?
I'm trying
to avoid the topic of my brother. We had a nice
thing,
but...
Why did I just tell Mike off the air? Well, you wouldn't know.
You just said that it went really well.
Good.
I said we had a fantastic time. That's why I called you. I want to make this right, and I'm not bull-assing here. We went out last night, and we had really a great time. As a matter of fact, such a great time that I made a commitment to do something in the future with my brother-in-law where there will be no other people involved.
See, that shows me that you had a great time.
It's great.
I did. Listen, I'm not lying about that.
I know you're not.
I told you before we went on the air tonight.
What are you going to do with him?
We're going golfing.
Are you? Well, see, that's good.
Yeah, we're going to golf on the 4th of July together.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what do you mean? Mm-hmm.
I just wish you know, if we have a normal, nice evening out with people.
Honey, I had done some talking yesterday about how I thought your brother hated me, and I only want to follow up to say that, you know, if he does, he did a real good job of hiding it last night. And I thought last night, you know, I thought the best time that we've had with them.
Well, good. Well, then enough said, and just move on, and everything's fine. You just don't have to review every evening that we have out.
Why?
Because
that's my show.
Because what if we go out with Mike?
That's the only
Laura?
Thing that separates me from every other stupid disc jockey out there.
What if we go out with Mike and Laura and we don't have a good time, and then you don't want to come back on and say the next day you had?
Wait. When have we not been on Mike and Laura and not had a good time?
I'm just using him as an example. What if we go out with Joe and Jane Schmo and we don't have a good time and you don't?
Honey, hold on. What about when we went to Rudy's party? We went to Rudy's party, and I had an awful time, and I talked about that.
Rudy's your friend, so you can, you know, you say is your business.
He's not your friend?
He's only my friend through you. I mean,
honey, listen, you're very uptight.
I have to tell you that also. I have to jump in here and say my wife would say the same thing about Rudy.
Rudy
is your friend. Yes, yes. I mean, Rudy, you know, Rudy is wonderful. We have a great time when we go to his house and everything, but my wife does consider Rudy one of the guys, even when Mouse is around, one of the guys. Yes, absolutely.
All right.
I think many wives feel that way about Rudy. Yeah.
So in other words, I'm taking responsibility now
right.
for the relationship with Rudy.
So you can critique any evening we have out with somebody that is our friend through you.
Honey, I've always critiqued everything that we do.
No, let's change that policy. From now on, it's...
No, I'm not changing that policy. Come on. Listen, we had a great time last night. Beautiful night. Very nice restaurant. Very nice conversation. Some very candid conversation, right? The beginning of the night. Candid. Good. Came home. They left.
All right.
Watched the end of the Bulls game.
Good. What you got planned for the show today, babe?
Came one step closer to eating dog food.
You came one step closer to eating dog food.
Right.
Because the Bulls lost last night.
Oh.
I bet Rudy Martsky yesterday a cracker with dog food loaded on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That one of us would be eating that at the end of the series.
Well, maybe Rudy is my friend after all.
All right. Well, you're wacky.
I know.
You're wacky, and I'm going to let all of this behavior slide because I know that really you're upset about your hand.
I am distressed.
Right? I know.
I'm going to be...
And this is why I'm proving again that I'm a good husband, and I'm supportive.
And it's my left hand, and it'll be out of commission for weeks, which means that...
Gets no use anyway.
You'll have to be applying my makeup for the next few weeks.
Hey, listen, I'm going to be the perfect supportive husband.
And blow drying on, my hair?
On Tuesday, I'm going to be the perfect supportive husband.
You're taking the day off?
No, I'm not. But I am getting up early, taking you to the hospital, staying with you at the hospital while you have this procedure on your hand, bringing you home, making sure you're set.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm gonna feel like Elizabeth Dole.
You're gonna have to be cooking for the next 3 weeks,
right? It'll be like I'm married to Bob Dole because you're gonna have the dead hand,
right?
Dead
arm. It's gonna be in a big bandage for 3 weeks, and you'll have to cook and everything else.
Right, no problem.
All right, good.
No problem. And listen, that's why my wife's been a little tense.
Everything's gonna be fine with that, Frieda.
Well, she was a little uptight yesterday. What did I tell you? What did I say when you first told me about that?
I know it'll be fine.
So of course it's fine. You know, the big worry is, a calcium buildup that you have on your finger?
No, I don't even want to say, because then you'll have people call and tell you all the bad
things. Yeah, you're right. People do that. They do that all the time. They shouldn't.
Screw them. They're wrong. You've been to all the doctors. It's nothing. It's a standard procedure.
Mm.
You'll be okay.
They have to biopsy those things when they come out of you.
I know they do. That's why I am being so loving, so supportive, right, and why I'm letting this.
The doctor told me that
letting this behavior slide.
People don't usually lose their hand over this.
Good.
Right. And listen, hold on.
The biopsy thing's just a routine. I mean, they take anything off of you.
Funny.
They biopsy it every, no matter what. They do the same thing with
when
dogs.
We had our serious
case scenario, I've always wanted to lose a couple pounds anyway.
When we had our serious talk about this, see, this is what it's like with her. She's really uptight about this.
Well, your wife is a lot like me in that regard. She worries, and I understand that.
I know. And
it's a freaky thing when they're gonna take anything off of you.
I have tried. I've tried in this one, the sensitive round. When did I do that when we first talked about it? We're laying in bed, and I was saying, don't worry, I love you no matter what. And I said, and I meant it. I will love you if you had one hand.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I would love you if they had to take your arm.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, what parts must they leave before you stop loving me?
Well, that would be the worst case scenario, wouldn't it be? The whole arm?
Right. Well, sure.
Once again, Dennis Murphy.
Well, listen, you're going to be fine with this, and you know it. But anyway, that's why she's a little uptight. And plus we got, pressure of the birthday this weekend.
Right.
It's the birthday.
And it doesn't help that you gave me an extra year yesterday.
Right. Honey, you will be fine.
All right, thank you.
You will be fine.
How old am I going to be?
You are going to be 43.
Thank you.
Beautiful, 43, although I'd like to check that, because I think... Don't we go through a period of time where you are 4 years older than
me? Sugar, but if I turned 44 on Sunday, I'd be 5 years older, and I'm never 5 years
old. Oh, right, I'm not 40 yet. Okay, you'll be 43.
Thank you.
But you'll be fine.
All right.
I love you no matter how many fingers you have.
Thank you.
No matter how many arms you have.
All right.
Okay.
All right, I love you too.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye.
All right, so, that's been going on for a couple of weeks. And my attitude... and I tried to pass this to my wife and also to my son when he had his appendectomy done.
Yep.
Was that because I had 13 operations on my kidney when I was a kid. And I've had arthroscopic knee surgery twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had my finger operated on before.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I've gone in, they put you to sleep and you wake up and you're fine.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my perspective. Maybe it's naive, but that's my perspective. And it seems to do absolutely nothing for her.
Nah.
Seems to do nothing for her.
Nah, yeah, who's not going to be uptight about going through something like that?
Sure, right.
I mean, she's uptight. Understandably so.
So listen, Ronnie Lott has 9 fingers.
Mm-hmm.
He's very successful.
I'm sure that calmed her down.
Yeah, he's a very successful man.
He has 9 fingers.
Cheer up. Yeah.
You don't need all 10. Who needs all 10?
I'll tell you something. I've got this. You want to talk about, look at this bump I got here on this finger. You want to talk about a big-ass bump.
Right.
And that's from where I broke my finger, and I'm pretty sure that's a calcium deposit.
You ever see Gerb's fingers?
Yeah, oh, yeah, Matt Elliott. A lot of football players have fingers
it's
like
incredible.
That.
Incredible. The fingers. I mean, and the damage that's done. It's amazing.
I don't think that's cancer in my hand or anything bad. I just think I got an ugly lump on my hand.
Yeah, you might want to have that checked.
Not me, Mike. I'm afraid of doctors.
I am, too. I don't like going to them anymore. I really don't. I don't like going to them at all.
Well, anyway, we had dinner last night, and it was good.
You said that to me off the air. You said everything was fine.
Everything was fine. I don't know what she's so uptight about. And I did take your advice, though, and I did shave. What I did was just shave the chin,
okay,
which left... It, damn the fact that the whiskers that I have are all very light. They're all very faint. It's hard. It's almost like when we saw Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
Right. Yeah.
Jane Seymour.
It's kind of wispy hair.
She had lots of hair on her face, but you couldn't tell it until you're standing right next to her in the elevator.
And you had to have that crossing light so you could actually see. And then it's like, whoa, look at that.
Same with me. I mean, when you get real close to my face, real close, it almost looks like Don Johnson's stubble.
Yeah.
But then you take like 6 inches step back, you can't see it anymore.
No, it looks like you're clean shaven. And I couldn't tell whether you had, it almost looks like you cut it back, but you only shaved your chin.
Right.
So that now any chance of the goatee is gone.
Oh, no, because the chin will come back in 3 days.
Oh, it will. Yeah.
That's the one spot on my body where it grows and it grows, and it's like chia pet. It will not stop.
See, if you wanted to be real hip, you could actually just have the chin hair.
Don't you think that looks retarded?
Yes, but it's a look. It's not a look. And
No, I would rather go with no hair than just chin hair.
You know, there are so many different configurations of beards in the 90s compared to the 80s or the 70s, because people actually are doing lots of weird stuff with their facial hair now.
Well, not me. I would be happy just to have a simple, Riker on Star Trek. If I could have Riker beard, I'd be set. See, this comes from a man who could grow a beard when you were, 12, 11 years old?
But even I don't have a Riker kind of beard. I mean, even I have right through here, this one like eighth of an inch right through here.
Easy to say when you've been able to grow facial hair. You know the struggle. And listen, it's only because you're my good friend that in these times, you don't bring up the fact that about 5 years ago when I really tried to grow a beard, that I had to go to my wife's mascara.
I understand.
To color part of it in, to make the whiskers look a little darker.
And if we are being totally honest, when you did that, what I said to you was, do you know the reason I don't bring it up? Because what I said to you is, when I was in college, when I was first trying to grow the full beard, I had done the same thing.
Right, except I was like 30 years old at the time. It's embarrassing. You know, I don't know why everybody let me walk around looking like that. You know, there's a picture of me at a hotel with my wife and my son for Thanksgiving.
Right.
We went there to have dinner with her family.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this beard that's about, I don't know, maybe a quarter really grown in as far as it's going to grow. But I've got all this junk on my face. I look like one of the guys that blew up the World Trade Center. There's a picture of me with this beard that's like, you look at it, you go, why are you wearing that fake beard? But like, I was walking around New York City and nobody bothered to tell me.
New York City, there, he got it again.
Right.
You want the facial hair, though.
I want it. And listen, you just can't relate because you've had it.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, F all you guys, because all you guys, Rob Spiewak has it, for goodness sakes. You mean I'm not more macho than Rob Spiewak, that I can't grow facial hair?
Charlie Broyhill, I bet, can't grow a beard.
Oh, I bet he can.
Can he?
Yeah,
he does have a heavy beard, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He just doesn't ever...
Sure he does.
Has he ever had a mustache or a beard since we've...
He's had a mustache.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. And of course, Buzz. You know, how many times do you have to shave, Buzz? 7, 8, 9?
No, really, just once a day.
Buzz with a very rough beard also. I love that.
You know, I was telling you that down in Louisiana, when we when I had that golf tournament in the morning, and then we had the show to do, and then the nighttime show, and we went back after the radio show, because we had an hour before we had to go to the other show.
Oh, I know. Show off. I know.
I didn't look at it that way.
I did.
I looked at it like my grandfather.
I know what you're going to say.
Yes?
That you had to shave twice in one day.
It was the first time that I ever remember where I had to shave twice in a day, and I always remember that my grandfather had to do that.
And you know what that made me think of? What? When you said that to me. I thought that reminded me of Tootsie. Because I read an article with Dustin Hoffman a long time ago when he played Tootsie, that when they would shoot scenes in the afternoon, he would have to shave two or three times because his beard would grow it. And I remember reading the article and getting mad at Dustin Hoffman. Right? Like, hey, F you got to shave five times a day. How'd you like to have this face? Don't you think I'd like some hair to cover up a little bit of this face? Never have I had it. Never in my life have I had it.
We always want the things we don't have.
You see a guy like Al Pacino. Al Pacino, he grows a beard when he takes a nap. He wakes up and looks like Serpico.
Yeah. Heaviest beard here, a guy named Alan Linewand, our sales manager. He's got a... You ever see that beard?
Yeah,
you ever
see
it when he really, once in a while, he'll say, I've decided to be macho and grow, and he grows a goatee in about a half an hour.
Yeah.
Comes down the hallway and says,
it's not an exaggeration.
Oh, it's incredible.
Hey, but at least you're in the club. At least you're in the running, Mike.
Oh, you know.
All you guys are in the running. Hell, there's women that work at the station that have more facial hair than me. And I think you know who I'm talking about. There's women in this building that have beards heavier than mine. It's sad, man.
Oh, man.
It's really sad. But I'm going to stick with it this time, because you know what? We got nothing on the horizon.
Right.
I mean, we've got some Las Vegas-style shows coming up and some appearances. Yeah. And listen, you folks are just going to have to see me when I'm not my absolute most drop-dead gorgeous, because I'm going to stick with this now, and I think I'm going to stick with it all summer long.
You know, you'll probably get a good mustache out of it. You probably get a
Do you think really over 3 months that I could get a mustache?
A mustache, it's been my experience, is something that you can grow and grow and grow and grow. And the longer you grow it, you trim it a little bit here and there, and it can get thicker and thicker and thicker.
Listen, I know it's not a look that's appealing. I'd even settle for a Hitler mustache.
You'd go with that? As opposed to having... But you wouldn't go with little chin music.
No. I don't know what that says about me psychologically.
Yeah.
I would rather have... Listen, it's because I know I can grow it on my chin.
Right.
And I can't grow it on my upper lip. And I can't grow it on my cheeks. And I can't grow it. I can't grow sideburns.
No. Just do the goat.
My face sucks.
Grow the goat.
My face sucks.
Very much in fashion right now. Yeah. You get rid of this.
Okay,
take this on the cheeks. Get rid of that.
No, I'm not going to do it.
You just keep
whole
it right
beard.
There.
Whole beard. Whole beard. And if anybody out there has any pills that you could send me through the mail
for beard growth
that will help me, you know, Michael Jackson, I know, takes pills that make him look more like a woman.
You know, instead of mascara, you could use that just for men.
If anybody would please send me their pills through the mail, I trust our listeners that you wouldn't send me anything funny.
Dear Don, this is not in the capsule case that it was in when I got it, but it will help your beard grow. I've also included a Cuban cigar.
Hello.
Thank you.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'm an excellent driver. There's only 28 miles on the odometer since I drove it a week ago last Saturday. It should be more than 28 miles.
Who's that?
I don't know.
Jimmy. What's up? Did I hit something?
It's a very dangerous highway.
What
is that? Dad lets me drive slow on the driveway. I'm an excellent driver.
What? No.
Better blow his seat.
Yeah.
Plus it's 27 minutes to Jeffrey.
13 minutes to Jeff Watson.
Are you taking any prescription medication? Practically 26 minutes to Jeffrey.
Uh-oh.
No. Still alive.
No. As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
The Don and Mike Show. Expertly aged, like a fine cheddar. The best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, I just wanted to just get a tattoo on your chin.
All right, this comes from another guy who I'm sure probably has a beard like Rip Van Winkle, right? All right. Thank you, ZZ Top. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello there.
Hey, Baldy.
Paint your bald spot?
This is...
The guys are calling in now.
Listen, never
mind. Listen, I'm at peace with the lack of hair on my head, with the egg-shaped bald spot in the back of my head. I got no problem with that. You know why? Because when you look in the mirror, you don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
You're my hero.
It's in the back of my head.
You're cool.
No, I'm not. I'm a mess.
You're not a mess.
I need some hormone pills.
Look at the weight loss. Look at the weight that you lost.
And
I'm still a fat load over
here. You don't think that that's depressing? To lose 30 pounds and then look and go, that's great. I lost 30 pounds. I'm the best shape I've been in years. I can't grow a beard.
Yeah.
Can't grow a beard.
I guess it's always something.
Mm-hmm. I know. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, we're down in Texas, and man, we can't get the station all the time, but we listen all we can. We think you guys are great. Me and my buddy, we go up here and sell parts, but I just wanted to tell you all guys are great.
Body parts?
What's that? My buddy. Oh, no, we sell truck parts.
Oh,
okay. We sell parts.
Hi, I got some parts. I have some parts in the back of the station wagon. How much for a spleen?
No spleens.
Just that's truck parts. Good spleen.
Yeah, Yeah, we're way down south in Texas, and the only station we get is we get it from Austin out of 98.9.
Now, keep waiting. Keep waiting. We won't be there long, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Bye-bye. Hello, Dynamite Show.
We like the fancy boys with the soft beards. They're nice. They're really nice. Get a hold of them. Yeah, buddy.
Sounds like a salad tosser on the line there for a moment.
I beg your pardon.
Hello, Dynamite Show. Hello.
Are they taking calls yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
And that guy was calling from his helicopter.
And that's probably the one guy who had an invention that could save me.
Yeah.
That's probably the one guy. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hey, how you doing, Don?
Hey, Baldy.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Don. I can't grow a beard. I'm trying to grow one. I'm 37, and I try to grow it, and my cat comes and lick it off at night.
Yeah, the old cat lick it off.
Yeah.
I just can't grow one either. So, hey, you're not alone. Some people just can't do it, and, hey, I'm as man as they get.
You sound like it.
He's commiserating.
I know, but he sounded like the guy that's in that ad that gets sand kicked on him by the bullet. You know.
I can't grow a beard.
Hey, pussy man.
Hello, Don. I've never been able to grow a beard. It's so hard, and if I did, I'd get in trouble.
How about your genitals? You got any hair in your genitals, pussy man?
No. Ever since I was born, pussy man had no hair on his genitals. But I wouldn't show anyone because I'd get in trouble.
Hello, Don, on my show.
Hey, Don, you know what you need to do to grow a beard?
What, buddy?
You need to get in contact with one of the old East German women's weight trainers.
You know, that's an excellent idea. I'll tell you something. I had a load of pills coming, but my train in Germany crashed yesterday. A train that was carrying all my special pills to help me grow a beard.
It must have been going really fast.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
How are you? Why don't you live with your beard and just become a Civil War reenactor? Because those guys usually have the real thin beards you can see through too.
You're right about that. You ever see those guys on the movies? You know, when they're out there in the Weekend Warriors doing their reenactments, and they all have those patchwork quilts.
Yeah. That's stupid, right?
Yeah.
Doing that on the weekend?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I do stupid stuff, too, so you can say anything that I do on a weekend is stupid.
Well, the guys are really into it, too.
But I don't do anything as stupid as dressing up as Johnny Reb.
Yeah, we're like, we are in the wheelhouse of that. We are in ground zero for talking about it. I wouldn't be surprised if we start running those guys down. There'll be like a whole militia out in front of the stage.
Hey, that's like Star Trek. Right?
Yeah,
Star
absolutely.
Trek, except they're into the Civil War.
Sure.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Dumb. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great, my friend.
Good. I want to tell you, Don, that I think you're more evolved because you can't grow hair.
Yeah, right.
You're just a higher form of the human beast.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Thanks for that. Where are you calling from?
Mobile.
Right. Enough said.
And, you know, I think battlefields are okay because they, like, preserve the countryside. But as far as when you think about going out to them for a tourist attraction, I mean, think about it. You're walking out. Here we are standing overlooking a field where thousands of people died. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
The worst place that my parents used to drag us to every summer was goddamn Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Gettysburg
sucks. You get there and there's guys wearing the Johnny Reb uniforms, and then you go out in a field and you stand in 100 degree weather, and you look at a spot where Abraham Lincoln stood like 200 freaking years ago.
That's right.
And that's it.
After a bunch of guys died.
That's it. That's all you do. And then you go and you buy flags, and you buy the Paul Revere and the Raiders hat,
sir. Right.
You know what I mean?
The little Union hat.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sucks. So boring. My parents used to love going there. They used to love taking us. They had these little, they weren't trains, but they were like essentially go-karts that were all linked together, and they went about as fast as a go-kart.
Here,
so they're going
here. 400 men fell.
Painfully slow, these things are moving.
Yeah.
As you're, and it's usually a high school kid that's reading a script, very badly reading you a script about everything that you're seeing, all the excitement.
If you look at
Gettysburg.
If you look to your right, 400 people fell dead here. Then over on our left here, lots more people died. They died and fell and died. And then on the hill over there, cannons blew people a bit, and then they died.
I'm not a big history buff. You know, you want me to get into history? Make it a ride.
Mm-hmm.
Make it a roller coaster. And I'll go there. I'll be there.
Disney's America.
Right.
Yeah.
Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hey, I just going to offer you something here. This is Rubber Man from Stockton.
Yes, rubber man.
I got so much hair on my back and chest, man, I can donate to a whole merkin.
Yeah, hey, listen, see, it's not all good, Don, having hair.
Yeah. Mike, I want to tell you something. You don't even want to hear me babble on and on about how I don't have any hair on my chest.
Oh, man.
You know, that's another thing. Don't you think it's embarrassing to go to the beach for 40 years? My son and I take off our shirts, and my son has more hair on his chest than I do?
Well, one thing about it, you don't get any food particles caught up without any hair.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. It's one of the side effects.
Food particles. When you're eating, and if you get like a...
Well, who eats with...
At the beach.
Well, all right. I always put a shirt on when I eat.
I don't.
I hate...
Not at home.
I hate eating without a shirt on. I hate guys that drive without their shirts on. That's the biggest way to say to the world you're a big load.
If you have a Jeep, you have to do that, apparently.
Thank you, Buzz. Thank you very much.
Oh, I forgot. Mike, I totally
phase.
Forgot.
We've
I know.
All gone through phases.
And I wasn't even thinking about you.
I felt, really, that when I owned my Jeep, that it was part of the code that during the summer months you had to drive your Jeep with your shirt off. And that's why I would... I did that a couple of times. I'd get out of the station.
You know, you did it one time.
And take the shirt off and, like, be in the car and gone, right?
We had to go down to Bethesda to get our pictures taken.
Right.
And we came out of this photographer's studio, and I remember he just whipped his shirt off. You got in his Jeep.
Oh, baby, I'm a redneck.
Had no top or anything on it. Like, bye! Your big hairy arm goes up in the air.
Bye now! Not proud of that. Not proud of that moment at all. Yeah. That car was very bad luck for me.
Hello, Don and Mike Joe.
Don and Mike, I have to defend the hobby of Civil War reenacting. It's pretty cool. You need to try it.
I'd be disappointed if we didn't get a call from somebody who was defending Civil War reenacting around this area.
Well, you got to do it, really. It's just more than putting on the uniform and going out and sweating your cojones off.
Really?
It is.
How is it different? Listen, really, hold on. Listen, how is it any different from people putting on Star Trek suits and running around outside and pretending they're shooting phasers at each other?
Well, I mean, it's not any different than that.
Thank you. Thank you.
You ever wonder if people came down from a more evolved planet and went, let me see, what are they doing? They're reenacting something that happened 200 years ago when people killed each other.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, man, I build reenacting stuff for the reenactors.
Well, nothing like that. I'm sure that's a nice cottage industry. You know?
It is. It's actually pretty good.
Sure, there's like a lot of guys get real rich making fake phasers and stuff for Star Trek people.
You're absolutely right.
And build muskets and canteens and things like that?
Well, I built the knapsacks that they use to carry their blankets and stuff in, their haversacks, and the cartridge boxes to carry their cartridges and things.
And to just prove once and for all how totally hypocritical I am. Mm-hmm. I'd like to point out, after busting these guys' balls, that I own an actual Star Trek suit.
Sure.
That was actually used on Star Trek The Next Generation. And I own a phaser that was actually used on Star Trek The Next Generation. And I actually have a panel that was on Picard's seat. On his bridge on the Enterprise.
You know, I'd really go to one of those reenactments if they use real bullets. Can you imagine that? I mean, get a few ambulances up on the mountain out there and, you know, just have the guys out there with real musket balls and really falling, and that would be a reenactment.
I'd go to see that, but listen, not if you could have the modern ambulances.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to really take it back. You'd have to have a horse and a carriage out
there. Civil War surgeons, and that's the way they'd repair them in the tents.
And there would be, like, no modern medicine, right? shot away. Whiskey and they like give you a bullet to chew on or something.
Yeah, after the weekend was over, perhaps they could get a few antibiotics after that. But during the actual reenactment,
come on, man.
In a tent with the saw, you know, that Civil War saw.
You got to keep it real, Mike. Keep it real, old school. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hi there, Don. I think I'm your long lost soul brother.
Right.
Well, it's kind of interesting, actually. I'm in radio. My wife is 4 years older than me. Her birthday is Sunday, and I can't grow facial hair.
Right.
All right. It's eerie.
Did you hang up on him?
No, not yet.
Okay.
No, I'm dead serious.
Flat square honest?
Yes. Swear to God. Cross my heart. Hope to die.
Who said that? Who said flat?
Joe Theismann. First contact with
that's
Joe.
That's right, Joe. I'm flat square honest. I love your program in the morning, but you don't know anything about being in a Super Bowl.
Have you ever been to a Super Bowl?
Buddy.
Yeah.
Joe Theismann. That's great.
Yeah, you got to give Joe credit. He went right for that trump card. I mean, immediately, what are you going to say to that?
Yeah. About 10 years ago, we were busting Joe Theismann balls. Mm-hmm. His ball's pretty good on the show. He just called us up out of the blue.
Yeah.
Oh, here's the tape right here. Listen to this.
Don, Joe Theismann. How you doing, buddy? I listen to your show every morning. I'm sitting at my farm.
I just heard the story about McMahon. And let me explain something to you. Okay. First of all, I've been there. See, you haven't been here for a short period of time. Yeah, it is me, Don. I'm not kidding. I'm flat square on. I love your program in the morning, but you don't really know what Joe Theismann's like. You ever been in the Super Bowl?
That's why Joe Theismann's the greatest.
He is the greatest. He is the buster of busters.
He is a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And he's driving down the road listening to us bust his balls a little bit, and he calls in, and I mean, talk about going for it. You ever been in a Super Bowl?
What do you say to that? What the hell do you say to that?
There's no comeback for that.
Game, set, and match.
Yeah. And that's when we became real good friends with Joe Theismann.
Absolutely. But it was so funny because you really... How can you not respect the guy after he just says that and you have no comeback? You go, no, we haven't. Okay.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there. George McFly says hi, too, by the way.
This is your soulmate still on the line here.
Where do you work? In Denver?
No, I don't. I used to room with George McFly when he worked down in Ocean City years ago.
You roomed with George McFly?
Yes, he was my roommate.
Oh, listen, I'm glad that you brought him up. The one good thing happened out of this call, which is now over from some DJ, is that I got to remember to tell you about my call last weekend from George McFly, because I know we've talked about him before on the show. We've had him on the show. Maybe I'll even try to call him at home. What time is it in Denver now? Is it it's almost 2 o'clock there?
Yeah, almost 2.
Maybe he's at work. Maybe I'll try him at his radio station.
Crazy George McFly.
He's got it going on, man.
Does he really? Still moments of crisis?
He's a nanosecond away from just absolutely going nuts. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, I've got an idea for Don's hairless chin problem.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don.
Buddy.
Yeah, hey, what's up? Hey, I was in those Civil War reenactments when I was younger.
Yes.
And you said you've been to the Star Wars conventions. How many times have you shot beer cans out of a cannon at the Star Wars convention?
You mean you shot beer? Were they full beer cans or empty beer cans?
Just empty. Just have a good time, you know.
See, I wouldn't be surprised where there would be. That would be a big difference. Probably a lot more beer.
Yeah.
Involved in the reenactment.
Yeah, generally your Star Trek nerds, they don't drink a lot.
Just at night. I mean, none during the day.
Yeah, but a lot of it, right? I mean, you're tanking pretty good, like when you have the bivouac, when you're sitting there with the tents and everything.
Well, until you pass out, you know.
Yeah. I think, as a general rule, probably more Jolt Cola is consumed at a Star Trek convention than beer, right?
Probably. I tell you, though, if you did it, I worked artillery. It was a lot of fun. It really was.
Do the guys that are the commanding officers in those reenactments, do they really pretend they're commanding officers? And I bet they're guys that like are the colonels and are the sergeants that really give other people, the underlings, a lot of crap. Is that right?
Well, it's like any actor that you hear. Once you put on the suit or you get into the part, you get into
actor.
The part.
Oh, all right, goodbye. Your time is up. An actor.
Acting.
Simple actor's trick.
Come on, what do you mean you're an actor? You're a guy that wants to go out there and pretend that you're Robert E. Lee or something.
Just be honest about it. You know, when I put on my Star Trek suit, I pretend that I'm Riker. Yeah.
Of course.
Right.
You put on the suit. That's the whole idea.
When I put on my Batman suit, I pretend that I'm Batman.
Mm-hmm. I've never been to one of those reenactments.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yep. All right,
line busted. Hello,
Don.
Yeah.
I must say that you guys are way off base on this reenactment stuff.
I knew we'd get calls like this.
I mean, how can you be a right-thinking American if you don't know what an American is? And the best way to know that is to go out and watch some guys that are living historians.
What do I give a crap what happened 200 years ago? I give a crap what happened today.
Yeah, but Don, you're just doomed to make them. How can you know why Americans are what they are without knowing what they did?
Huh? What does that have to do with putting on a Johnny Reb out and going out with your pop gun?
And let me throw
because
this out.
It makes kids want to be interested in history.
Hold on now. And I have nothing against history. I minored in history. But let me tell you this, all right? I will tell you that when you are reenacting a battle, there's just a little part of me that thinks, isn't it just a little silly to go out and pretend that we're army men back when people were killing each other. It's not something really that I think should always be celebrated.
No, it's not celebrated. I mean, again, if you've been to...
See, I disagree. I don't think these guys are celebrating. I think they're just guys that remember when they were little kids
played army.
Yeah. That it was cool to lay down and go... And that's basically what they're doing, but they're lying to themselves with all this crap about history and stuff.
It's just fun to play with the guns.
I don't think it's guys glorifying war, glorifying that, all these people are dead.
guys, there are organizations like the Sons of Confederate Veterans where we go into schools and we show kids flags. We show kids what the...
Oh, God. Yeah, right, show them the Confederate flag. Here you go, Johnny.
We show them the flag. We tell them, don't do drugs.
You know, you're right about
be
that.
Right to your ma and your pa.
And they probably aren't celebrating it. I probably misspoke there, but it's funny when you just think about we're looking back, and history is history. It formed the country and all that.
Right.
But you're looking back and you're saying, you know, here's a period in time where people, literally thousands of guys, were killing each other in the middle of a field, and let's go out and reenact it. It's just kind of weird. It just strikes me as a little weird.
Mm-hmm. And maybe I'd get into it. Maybe if it was like gangsters, you know, if there were guys that wanted to recreate like being Al Capone, who drive around, you go, hey, you, you killed my brother, I'm gonna kill your brother, you know, I'm all for playing games, man, right?
Sure.
Imagine that, if there was like a mafia fantasy camp. Oh, would I love to go there. You know who I'd like to be my mentor, I've decided? And I've seen him in too many comic roles recently
that
he's taken away from his real ability to play a hard ass. He's Dennis Farina.
Oh, yeah, Dennis Farina. He was the guy in the Chicago accent.
Yeah, I logged a little time with him with that awful movie that he did with Bette Midler where he's her ex-husband and he falls back in love with her again. It's an awful movie. And I'm watching and thinking, this guy used to play a real good hard ass.
Yeah, he's played a hard ass cop. He's a former cop, yeah.
I mean, even in like Ed Shuri, which is a funny movie,
right?
He played kind of a hard ass at that. But in this one, he's totally sold out.
F-U, F-ball.
Yeah, but even with that Bette Midler movie on his resume, I would hire him to be my mentor. Just to walk around with him and, you know, tell me what to do. Tell me what guy's face I step on.
Yeah.
You know, like when he's got that scene, he's got Gene Hackman down on the floor.
Sure.
After he shoots the guy. And now don't puke on my shoes.
He's a tough guy.
Hey, he's a good guy.
Dennis Farina. And don't you dare say Purina. For God's sake.
I'd love a mafia fantasy camp.
You know something? Ideas like that, if you act on them, they become mafia for adults, mafia fantasy camp.
Hey, they have those dumb camps where guys put on baseball suits and pay like $5,000 to go throw a ball with Brooks Robinson.
Welcome to mafia fan. You know, and you get, you know, it's kind of like a glorified version of paintball.
Hello, Don and Mike. Oh my gosh, we have to do a break. Hello.
Well,
all right, you hung up. That's good. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Now, 8% of that group sampled at least one premiere to give us their opinion of the product.
Bottom line?
Well, of all the groups we tested, the response to premiere was just about uniform.
Mm-hmm.
They all said they tasted like shit.
They all said that? Nobody liked them? Fewer than 5%.
How much are we in for up to now?
To date?
To date, to here, to now.
Upwards of 350. We've spent $350 million and we've come up with a turd with a tip? God almighty, Ed. We poured enough technology into this project to send a cigarette to the moon and we come up with one that tastes like it took a dump?
We haven't even talked about the smell.
Well, what'd they say that was like? A fart?
Yeah.
Oh, you're not serious. They really said that?
We've got an awful lot of fart figures, sir, yes.
Tastes like and smells like a fart. We got ourselves a real winner here. It's one goddamn unique advertising slogan, I'll give you that.
The Don and Mike Show.
It's fucking awful. It's a young man. A disease. Silent killer. Hey, there are worse ways to go. Even still, I'm the fish you're doing. Pretty f***ing humiliating. So Elvis died. That guy in Hollywood, too. Don something. But those sort of Simpsons.
You'll laugh till you crap your pants. The Don and Mike Show.
Elvis now in Penthouse Magazine.
All right, I've been looking forward to this.
The secret sex life of the king of rock and roll.
Hey, oh, man, I'll tell you, I'm red. Ray, go down to the audience and get somebody out of the audience. I sure am horny.
You know, we're going to get a big Elvis Death Day show this year.
Sure.
We had the guy on a couple of days ago who has written the Hamburger James story.
Right.
His name is Rick. He's Elvis' stepbrother.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be with us live on Elvis Death Day
and we're going to read the Hamburger James story with him.
That'll be great.
And get his reaction to our read of the story.
That is going to be terrific because he's the guy that was there when all of that crazy stuff was going on.
He wrote the book, man.
Probably the greatest honor that I've ever had in my life.
20 years ago, on August 16th, 1977, Elvis Presley's life ebbed away as he lay on a bathroom floor at his beloved Graceland mansion.
I had something in my nose.
Sure, you did.
I was not laughing at that. That was not. I certainly wouldn't think something like that. Of course.
Oh, did you see the picture that Rob has over his desk?
No.
Somebody sent Rob what looks like a fine artist rendering, a real portrait,
right,
of what Elvis looked like, slumped over his commode, wearing his pajama bottoms when he finally offed and was eating the shag carpet.
Really?
Yeah. Rob, where did that come from? Is that from a newspaper, or did somebody send that right to you? Oh, hold on. In the role of Rob Spiewak, here's Charles Broyhill.
I just saw Rob go down the hallway to get that picture for you.
Oh, great. I haven't seen that. Now, he's running. He's actually running.
Because it's Elvis.
My God.
The only thing that motivates him. Hello, thank you, Robert. See, here it is right here. Look at that.
Oh. Out of the Star tabloid.
Isn't that the best picture you ever seen?
Oh, God.
Secret autopsy. Chilling evidence that he could have been saved. And it says, artist's impression of the king's final moments. He fell to his knees before passing out on his bathroom floor, his head buried in the shag carpet beside a pool of his vomit.
Yes.
No one will know whether Elvis might have lived or if anyone heard him fall. And it's a fantastic, real painting of Elvis rolling around on all fours.
That's photographic art right there. Can I take a closer look at that, please?
And Mike, see what's on the counter in his bathroom there.
The kit, man.
All
the empty pill bottles.
That painting would look good over your Davenport.
Okay, 20 years ago, on August 16th, 1977, Elvis Presley's life ended with 14 drugs in his body and gold pajama bottoms down around his ankles. Like in the picture here, Mike.
That picture kills me.
How you doing,
man? That picture kills me.
With his pants around his ankles, the chronically constipated singer suffered massive heart failure and fell off his toilet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why does this make us laugh 20 years later?
Because we're sick and shouldn't be laughing at it.
At this point, wouldn't the joke have worn out on normal guys?
Maybe the joke is being enhanced because there's that incredible artist recreation of him.
Okay, there it is. Even without the artist recreation, though.
That's true. I was still chuckling before. I admit it, I was chuckling.
And we haven't even gotten to the... I don't know if they mentioned it here. Where they had to knock Elvis's teeth out.
With a hammer.
With a hammer.
Tinkle the ivories. Get his tongue, man. His tongue was swollen.
Yeah. Hammer time. Okay. Now, there on the floor, in his last moments, he struggled under his own weight. Under his own weight, I'm sorry. Still, he managed to crawl several feet, collapsing on the red shag carpet and vomiting where he lay.
Mm-hmm.
In a matter of minutes, the king was dead.
I'm sorry. You know, I'm a big Elvis fan.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too. We love Elvis.
We do.
Oh, that is about the most hypocritical thing that we say. We say a lot of hypocritical stuff. The woman who found him, Ginger Alden, a Memphis beauty contest winner, held the illustrious title of Miss Mid-South, didn't know what to think. Mm. Elvis's drug protocol was so intense and so stupefying, mm-hmm, that often he would get up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom and never make it back to bed. Mm. Aides would find him sprawled on the floor, zonked out, and cruising his own private hemisphere. At first, Ginger thought nothing was out of the ordinary when she saw him. Mm. When Ginger called to him and got no reply, she touched his arm.
Oh, dear.
It was cold.
Oh, dear.
No. Alarmed, she turned his head. got her first look at his swollen, distorted figure.
Oh, no. Boy, this is going right into the moment. We've never gotten this much detail.
Ginger gasped. Oh, the tongue from which so many great songs had once come was falling out of his mouth. Even more shocking, discoloration has set in from the waist up.
That's not pretty.
Elvis's skin, once a fetching olive in hue, uh-huh, was now purple black.
Purple black, man.
An EMS worker, summoned to the familiar address, believed he was trying to resuscitate an African American.
Really?
And was later stunned to learn that the dead man was Elvis.
Yeah.
Hey, that looks like a brother to me.
This is detail, man. This is detail we haven't gotten before, Red.
Elvis had shared Ginger's bed that night, a rarity. She hated sleeping over, preferring to sneak home after Elvis took his medication and fell asleep. Why? Because for years, Elvis Presley, the foremost male sex symbol, couldn't truly satisfy a woman.
Uh-oh.
The secret he most feared was getting out, even more than his drug use, was that the sexiest man alive was impotent.
Oh, no.
Receiving testosterone shots from his doctor, Dr. Nick.
Hey, Dr. Nick, put some lead in my pencil, man.
Hey, this is better than the Hamburger James story.
Boy, this is more detail than we've ever gotten.
Okay, let me just read a little more here before break. Still, Elvis had desires. Though his cousin Billy Smith, that's Major Billy Smith, though his cousin Billy Smith insisted the book beside Elvis on the bathroom floor was The Scientific Search for the Face of Jesus, mm-hmm. an investigator for the medical examiner's office said the last images Elvis Presley saw on Earth were from a book about sexual positions.
Oh, there you go.
Pictures of men and women in the throes of carnal bliss.
Yeah, look at this, man.
Taurus style.
Oh,
hey, Red... Where's my book with people doing it Taurus style? What does that mean?
From like a bull.
Oh.
I think that's what it would be, like a bull.
Yeah. Is that butt love?
I don't know whether it's butt love. I think it's doggy style. Bull style would be doggy style.
I like mine Catholic style. That's how I like my sex.
Sure, man.
Looking was one thing, however, and doing was another. The long-concealed truth is that Elvis had never much enjoyed the act of intercourse.
Really?
He liked foreplay. And everything that led up to intercourse. Kissing, hugging, and above all, baby talk.
Is that a good talk, man?
The special language he shared with his mother, Gladys.
Oh, that's right. Goo-goo, gaga, baby needs a rattle, man.
But not intercourse itself. Elvis, a country boy.
God, I hate intercourse, man.
Mike, Elvis was uncircumcised.
Was he really?
Hey, man. Hey, Red. Take a look at this. I'm uncircumcised.
Hey, Johnny Firehose.
Elvis was uncircumcised and complained to his cronies that intercourse irritated his foreskin and made him bleed.
Oh,
just like another great entertainer I know named Nick Joe.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Nick would be riveted to this conversation if he was here.
Hey, this is wow. I still got 1, 2, 3, 4 more pages and a couple of points that are noted beware content. Okay?
So just try to get out of your car now.
Let me do a commercial. Hey, absolutely, Buzz. Yeah. Let me do a quick commercial here, and we'll come back and read more about the Elvis that we love best, the Elvis right at the end.
Oh, man, I tell you, discoloration, baby.
Hey, I'm not circumcised.
Oh, man, no. That's no fun anymore, man, but I like everything leading up to it.
God, I'm all raw here down there.
Oh, man, I tell you something. Red, give me some ointment.
Hey, look at this picture of me in the tabloid, man.
That is fantastic.
Help me. We'll be right back. Ginger has just found Elvis.
Ginger was the beauty queen, the Memphis beauty queen.
His girlfriend, she walked into the bathroom. Since Elvis often had these episodes, she didn't know he was dead until she rolled him over and saw that he was kind of purpley black. And when the medical technician came in, he thought Elvis was an African-American. That's how dark Elvis was.
Okay.
Later in life, Elvis's strongest turn-on. Oh, and we're reading an article from the new Penthouse magazine about Elvis's sex life.
Fine publication.
With more in-depth facts than we've read in any of the Elvis material that we have on file.
This is all new stuff to us, and it's fascinating.
And listen, even though we're doing this great show today, we're still number 14.
That's just a little reminder. Little reminder for all of our listeners in Washington, D.C.
Go figure that, huh? Later in life, Elvis's strongest turn-on, other than seeing two women simulate lovemaking, was watching girls wrestle in white cotton panties.
Yeah, now that we've heard that before. Now, that's one we have heard before.
The fetish may have been rooted in an early experience. When Elvis was 4 or 5, this is Billy Smith talking, Major Billy Smith, my mama and aunt Cletus, C-L-E-T-T-E-S, Cletus?
I like Cletus.
Aunt Cletus. My mama and aunt Cletus were dancing together to some music. They were up on a trunk, waving their skirts around so they were flying up. Elvis was in the room, and the more they danced, the more excited he got. He grabbed my mama by the leg and said, oh, my Peter.
Wow.
Well, Gladys went wild. She yanked him up and yelled out,
where did this come from?
You all quit that damn dancing. She pointed at Elvis and said, look what you're doing to him. When my mama told me that, I liked to died.
Okay, we're getting real quotes here.
Elvis spent his childhood in the company of women. At a senior prom, the 18-year-old Elvis escorted a girl named Regis Wilson.
Hi, how are you?
Who was 4 years his junior.
Elvis, we're going to have a lovely date. I know I don't look much like a woman, but I know that you're a great singer.
Hey, I want you and Gilman to wrestle right now in your cotton panties.
Michael, I love you. I love you, Michael. Let's go out with Elvis. The Big E, I understand, Gilman, if you show him your cotton panties, there's an outside shot that Elvis will get aroused.
Oh, my Peter.
Oh, your Peter, Elvis.
My Peter.
All right. Boy, I can't believe it.
In 1956, at the age of 21, he got his first taste of national fame. He began inviting three 14-year-olds who hung out in front of the Presley house. Drive to visit, out front of his house on Memphis's Audubon Drive to visit his girlish bedroom.
He had a girlish bedroom?
Which was decorated with a pink dust ruffle, a pink and white flowered bedspread, a dark pink telephone, and pink stuffed animals.
That's a little weird.
Yeah. Heidi, Gloria, and Francis insist that nothing sexual ever happened during these visits, which would last till the wee hours. Elvis, who was already wearing eyeshadow and mascara off stage and on, often wore a black see-through lace shirt, a sort of male negligee. They would wash, set their hair, put makeup on them, and allow them to do the same to him. Then they would start pillow fights, tickle the girls, and send them home at 5 in the morning.
Boy, I tell you, there's some happy parents right there. What did you do last night, kids?
Elvis always said, quote, 14 or 16 will get you 20. Meaning, having sex with 14 or 16-year-old girls will get you 20 years in jail.
Well, he had his act together there.
But later he was the worst. He got in the middle of everything. From what I've heard, he had three or four young girls in his room at once from the Louisiana hayride days. One day he told Vernon it was six. He used to come up with ideas that would just make me shake my head. And ideas beyond that. His first cousin, Bill Smith, remembers.
I remember well, Todd.
He told me he got a big kick.
This is one of those content beware segments.
He got a big kick when he would cut loose in a girl's hair.
Ah. That's one of the things Elvis liked to do, huh?
Good man, Elvis.
Hey.
I remember one thing that was kind of funny, says Marty Lacker. Have we had that guy on the show before, Marty Lacker?
I think Marty was the fat guy that we had a little problem with.
Let's see. Anita, he says, Anita went out shopping, and while she was gone, Elvis brought another girl upstairs. He was fooling around with her in the bedroom when all of a sudden one of the guys called up and said, hey, Elvis, Anita's coming through the gate.
Mm-hmm.
If you looked out his window, it was a straight drop to the ground. So we put a ladder up to the room. He let the girl climb down, and he waited about 5 minutes, and he went down. Anita came in and went upstairs, and, of course, Elvis wasn't there. He walked around to the back of the house to the front and came upstairs behind her. And he said, oh, you're home. Great. He would do stuff like that to his girlfriends all the time.
Wow. So he had a whole mafia. He had a whole bunch of guys that would help him with his little plot.
So he'd be upstairs with a girl. His other girl would come home. His roadies would put a ladder up to the window.
That's it.
He and his girlfriend would climb out. Then he would come back inside and go, hey, when did you get here?
Hey, what a surprise.
Oh, my Peter.
Oh, God.
Okay. If Anita was tolerant of Elvis's charades, Natalie Wood was not.
Mm-hmm.
2 days into the great adventure, the movie star called home. Get me out of this and fast, she said. Elvis can sing, Natalie Wood said, but he can't do much else. What Natalie Wood never knew was the crassness with which Elvis excused his sexual turnoff. What happened with you and Natalie? Lamar asked one day, incredulous that Elvis would let a woman like Natalie Wood go so easily.
Yeah.
Elvis gave him a crooked grin and uttered a rude description of what advertisements would later call the feminine odor.
Oh, man.
Hey, man. She stinks.
Oh, man.
I couldn't do it with Natalie Wood, man.
Oh, God.
She smells offensive.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Robert Goulet.
That'll be enough of that
My boy.
The Don and Mike Show.
It relaxes and centers you. The Don and Mike Show.
Hello, la la la. Hey, folks, it's Rob Spiewak here. Listen, I just wanted to remind you, because I like you, that you got to listen to the best of Don and Mike while Don and Mike are away, because when they come back, they're going to be asking a trivia question that can win you $1,000. But here's the catch. The answer to the trivia question is buried somewhere in the best of. Ooh. So make sure you listen to the best of Don and Mike.
In order to be Elvis's girlfriend, if they wanted to remain his girlfriend,
right,
they had to learn the secret baby talk he shared with his mom, Gladys.
Oh.
Now, here's one that we've known.
Did that turn you on, Buzz?
It's the whole mom thing. Here's one that we know. Butch.
Right.
Butch, that's milk.
Chocolate Butch was a nice glass of chocolate milk.
Uh-huh. Itty Tream was ice cream.
Now, we've had these before. You know, this is all coming together. This is the Elvis baby talk.
Elvis sobbed when his mom died. She was always my best girl. Goodbye, darling. I love you so much. With her body lying in state at Graceland, Elvis astonished grieving callers by talking to his mom in the casket.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Eddie, Mama. You remember him. Several of the mourners thought that Elvis had gone over the edge when he began petting her hands and feet and whipped out a comb to fix her hair.
Okay.
After the funeral, he carried one of her belongings around for days, even sleeping with it, as he sat upright in a chair. The item? Her nightgown.
Oh, my.
Hey, man.
Okay, that's...
Oh, my Peters.
That's a little weird.
You know what? I have seen the movie The Grifters. Let me just get off topic here for a second.
Itty Dream.
I've seen the movie The Grifters about 100 times, but right, I've never seen it all the way through to the end.
Okay.
Okay? So over the weekend, I'm watching this movie with my wife. It's
great
on.
Great movie. Great movie with John Cusack and
Angelica Houston, like, comes on to him at the end.
Oh, yeah. The very, very end. Wasn't that weird?
Yuck.
Yes, it was.
Kind of ruined that movie for me.
I also think that's the movie where Annette Bening looks her absolute hottest.
She has... my wife was such a cat about her. Hold on a second. I don't know if the comment was... And we'll get right back to Elvis. I think it was that she had a boy's body or that she has big hips.
Really? In that movie?
Wow. Yeah, well, you know, my wife.
Itty Dream.
Threatened by all these other beautiful women. Actually, I don't think Annette Bening's that hot either.
Hello?
She's got, like, huge gums. Big gums. Hey, honey?
Yes, my boo-boo.
What was your comment, about Annette Bening in that movie Grifters? What did you say about her naked?
Well, I thought she was real cute. I mean, I thought...
Oh, come on. What did you really say?
They were all to it, though.
Hello? Hello, what?
Wait, I'm here. Wait, let me pick up the real phone.
Hold on. Hurry, though, because I'm right in the middle of Elvis talking baby talk. I just wanted to know. You know what made me think of that? Listen, Elvis used to like to hang around with his mom's nightgown after she died.
Well, right. You know,
I mentioned that I had never seen the end of that movie, The Grifters, until we watched it this weekend, and that's like...
That's when John Cusack turns on his mother at the end, and then she...
No, he doesn't really...
Well, what does he do?
Well, he doesn't want to give her the money that she's taken.
His mother is stealing his money.
Her mother's the ultimate grifter, right?
And then his mom, like, comes up and kisses him and is, like, touching his privates and stuff.
Well, I didn't see the privates. I think that happened in your head.
No, have you seen that movie? Doesn't she move her hand down by his privates?
Yeah, and I think that's the shocking part. The kind of scene that says, you know, that's where he draws the line because she will do anything to get the money.
It's an interesting psychological movie because he's mesmerized by her, which is the reason he likes Annette Bening, because she's a grifter.
You know what he said?
What?
When she was doing that, he said, "Oh, my Peter."
Oh, God.
Like Elvis. That's what Elvis said. Hey, honey, but listen, what did you say about Annette Bening's body?
Well, she was built like a boy.
Ah,
so like a little boy.
Oh, I don't know.
Not just built like a boy. She's built like a little boy.
Well, a little boy.
She doesn't have much waist, but she's very cute. She's kissy-like, but she is built like a little boy.
I thought that was the only movie that I really thought she looked hot in, and all the movies after that I didn't really care for.
No, I agree with you. But maybe I have a thing for little boys, but I mean, she did look cute in it.
Oh, God. All right. I love you. I'll see you when I get home.
And I understand the Elvis thing about the nightgown, too.
Because,
yeah, because... When I was little and needed to be comforted, my mother's nightgown was silky. That's what I would sleep with.
All right, but listen, you're a girl.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little more normal. Yeah. A girl like sleeping with her mom's nightgown.
No, and then my brother would hold on to that silky feeling. You know the way nightgowns, but my brother one time took my mother's underwear to church with him to suck his thumb and hold on to her underwear because it has...
Oh, wait, hold on a second. Oh, hello, doctor. Hello. Check, please.
And then, I don't...
Hold on, which brother was this?
I forget, but let me tell you what happened. He yelled out in church for one reason or another, I don't know why, but he threw the underwear across the church, so it landed, and so my mother's underwear landed in somebody else's lap during church.
Wow.
Oh, man, that's pretty interesting.
Now, think about which brother that is, though. Is that...
I think it might have been my brother, Doug.
Oh, so the brother who is still with us. Oh, well, good. That's all. That's good to know.
All right. Well, I'm not sure about that.
See, we can get him on the show.
but that should have ended for Elvis before he reached adulthood. In any case.
Yeah, I mean, the little baby doing it. I guess I can understand.
Well,
that.
How old was your brother Doug when he threw your mom's
18,
underpants
on? He was 18.
I think he was a toddler.
He was a toddler. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
No, I don't think he was school age.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Goodbye.
I think you have totally weirded out your husband right now.
I love you, darling.
But I was 16 when my mother sent part of her nightgown to France for me to comfort me.
Your mother sent part of her nightgown to France?
Well, I was. It was the first time I had been away from home, and I was. Yeah, and I needed. And I had nothing to. I was all alone in a foreign country.
All right, Elvis. Well, let me just soak some of this in. You know, you're married to someone for 16 years and you think you know everything.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, I was just frightened. All right, my boo-boo.
Just frightened. Okay.
All right, goodbye.
All right, goodbye. That's my wife, everybody. I am. I'm going to have the doctor check her out tomorrow. I'm not sure what was doing there.
Part of the nightgown. That is interesting. That's
weird, man.
That is interesting.
Yeah, I know. Don't say it, though.
I won't.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Ah, my radio god.
Listen, there are some secrets. There are some things that my wife has told me and I'm never allowed to say on the radio.
Right,
but that, of course, means that I have run right into tell Mike.
That's right, and I've honored that
and
also.
There's been a couple in particular.
Sure.
That, I'm just glad. Don't say it, okay?
You take your own advice right there. Okay.
Hello.
Hello. How you doing, guys?
My wife has quite the checkered past. I mean, she makes me look like a goddamn altar boy. Some of the stuff my wife's done.
That's fascinating, though. You know, this underwear connection and nightgown. I wonder if there's something that we missed as children.
Oh, my Peter. Yes, hello, you're on the air.
Yes, thanks. Hey, listen, Don and Mike, I heard you guys talking before about how much you enjoyed... coming down to the Navy base and flying the simulator and practicing landing on an aircraft carrier.
Oh, man, we had a blast.
How long ago did we do that? 3-4 years?
I guarantee you.
Was it that long, Buzz?
The Patuxent Naval Air Station. And I guarantee you, I could ace it now. I could ace it today based on the fact that is all I do on that computer is play the U.S. Navy fighters thing, and it's a very accurate simulator.
Well, I'm sure I could do good just because I got the suit now.
You wear that suit.
That's right.
See, that's it. We both be aces. Suit of an officer.
Well, hey, great. If you want another opportunity, I'm down at the Prax River Navy Base. We can set that up for you whenever you want to come.
You know what I'd love to do? I would love to set up an opportunity to go down there, like, with a tape recorder.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
And this time, record the sounds of all of us trying to simulate. Yes, everybody except Mike, I think, crashed the plane into the aircraft
carrier. No, I did too, Don. I did too. I remember I got close, and I was sitting there saying, hey, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. And then I hit the bottom of the carrier. Oh, man, it was amazing to do that.
All right, well, that would be a wonderful thing we'd love to do. Hold the line, will you, please?
Sure, no problem.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
They were so nice to us down there. That would be great.
And you have your flight suit this time.
Yeah, maybe by the time we go, I'll have my red crimson tied USS Alabama hat.
You ought to wear that.
Oh,
you really ought to wear that down there and just see the reaction.
You know, I got a thing about uniforms.
That's right.
Plus, there's nothing like being saluted.
Oh, man, and, you know, with that hat on, they'll probably think you're the real deal.
And I salute right back. I go right at you. Okay. Back to the Elvis story.
Right. Okay.
Let's see. Elvis and his mom. 4 weeks after Gladys died, Private Presley was shipped overseas to Germany.
Oh, no.
While his mom was alive, Elvis kept his sexual shenanigans under wraps. Now Europe provided the perfect setting for the 23-year-old's libido to come out. Elvis just let loose sexually. That included everything from dating a 16-year-old to a one-night stand with a female contortionist to chatting up B-girls and prostitutes at a nightclub.
Hey.
It was in Europe that Elvis met his future wife, an army brat named Scylla. Excuse me.
Scylla?
During the 6 months... excuse me, I'm sorry. During the 6 months that Scylla went with him in Germany...
Oh, my Peter.
During the 6 months that Elvis went with him in Germany before Elvis... Hold on. During the 6 months Listen, let me do a quick break. All the words are starting to run together right now.
I know. And you got a little nightgown and underwear thing in your brain right
now.
I'm
getting ice cream headache. Let me just do a quick commercial set. We'll come back. And in the next break, we'll get to the part where Elvis loses control of his bladder and bowels when he's in bed with girls.
Let loose, man.
Okay, we'll be right back. Oh, my people. This is Elvis now with Scylla in Germany. Instead of consummating... Instead of consummating love in the usual way, Elvis began teaching Priscilla other means of pleasing him.
Mm-hmm.
Those included photographing each other in a variety of sexual roles, such as a teacher seducing a student.
Take a picture of me, ma'am.
Scylla, presumably donning the little Catholic uniform she once wore each day to Immaculate Conception High School. Elvis also talked Priscilla into simulating lesbian sex with a hairdresser friend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Today, Sybil Shepherd boasts that it was she who taught Elvis oral sex. He was sexually conservative, trapped in a macho thing. Long after a world-weary rock and roller should have mastered such things.
Right.
Through the years, the idea that Elvis might have been gay circulated in the movie capital, Hollywood, in part because of his androgynous stage appearance, his close friendship with gay Nick Adams, his living arrangements with the 12 all-male members of his Memphis Mafia, and his refusal to attend the requisite Hollywood parties. Earlier this year, a Colorado graduate student posted a notice on an Elvis internet news group looking for images of Elvis placed in erotic or sexual content. It can range from Elvis having sex with aliens to Elvis and Mr. Spock. It is unlikely Elvis would have had sex with aliens if given the chance, since he was repulsed by the idea of intercourse with blacks.
Hmm.
Hey, there's Elvis.
Hi, honey. Give me the biggest kiss you got.
A little bigotry in old Elvis.
When he once thought Diana Ross made a pass at him at a traffic light, he ran off like a scared puppy.
Man, where does this stuff come from?
And when he believed that Elvis had cheated on him with a famous black rock and roller, he was outraged and wounded to the core.
And when he believed that who? I got confused with that.
When he believed that Scylla had cheated on him with a famous black rock and roller, he was outraged and wounded to the core. As for Mr. Spock, forget it. No male visitor to the house was ever left alone in Elvis's company.
Hey, man, I'm Archie Bunker Presley.
Then you get on to Linda Thompson. That was his next serious girlfriend.
I think I saw some videotape one time or a film where he introduced her out of the audience.
A lot of people think Elvis had a mother hang-up, she says. He did, and that's not unkind. A lot of men like the things that a woman they liked in their mother. He called me mommy, and I called him little baby bunnin. I was like his mommy at times.
You're my little baby bunnin, yeah.
Oh, my Peter.
Itty dream. Want some butch with my itty dream.
But after she...
Cut loose, man.
Eventually... in a girl's hair.
Hey.
After she eventually left, finding Elvis's growing dependency on prescription drugs suffocating and sad, no other woman stayed with him long. Thompson had saved his life several times, pulling food out of his throat. I love you, Elvis. I love you so much.
Elvis keeps on giving, man. I got something, buddy.
Listen, you really got to love somebody to put your fingers down their throat and pull out pieces of hamburger and junk.
You know, that's what it was. A big bacon log jam. I put like 10 pieces down there, man. They're all burnt.
Okay. She pulled food out of his throat when he'd get loaded on downers and choke, calling doctors just in time when he'd OD'd, but the increasingly young females who now shared his bed couldn't handle the responsibility.
Sure.
By the mid-1970s, there were other problems. When he wasn't so constipated that he carried trunks of Fleet enemas with him, Elvis occasionally lost control of his bladder and bowels. This tended to happen in his sleep, which meant more than one young woman awoke to find quite a surprise in bed.
Hey, how about that? You lonesome tonight?
Elvis, you get the wet spot, baby.
Hey, I'm real sorry. Well, get out of here if it's so offensive.
Oh, my Peter.
Oh, dear.
Where's my mama's nightgown? Hey, I need some itty tream.
It's time to cut loose, man.
Oh, my Peter.
Oh, God.
Okay, Elvis seemed oddly like Howard Hughes. His refusal to bathe on a regular basis, and his strict guidelines for female company.
Sure.
If a prospective date had dirt under her toenails...
for example, she was immediately disqualified.
Sure.
Meanwhile, Elvis would go number two in bed, but if a girl's got urine under her toenail, she's no good for him.
Man's
got
to have his standards.
Right. Finally, there was the matter of his impotence brought on by other health problems by the massive quantity of pills that Elvis gulped. When the king succeeded in coaxing a new woman into his bed, she was likely in for a rude awakening. Instead of sex, she would hear that Elvis needed to conserve his bodily fluids for a tour.
Yeah, man, I'm going out on tour. We can't do nothing.
Then a couple of members of the Memphis Mafia or one of their wives would be invited into the red and black tufted cave of a bedroom, asked to pull up a chair, and expected to share stories about whatever was on Elvis's mind until he nodded off. So the girls thought that they'd be getting sex, but Elvis couldn't do it, so they would just sit around and talk with him.
And he'd bring a crony in, too?
Yeah, or he'd bring a crony's wife in to sit with the girl and talk with her.
Man, oh, man.
Okay, and then how do they do it? Do they end this now? Oh, here's how they end the story, okay? So they write all this stuff about Elvis, and then here's how it ends. Today, 500,000 visitors tramp through Graceland each year, making it the second most visited home in the nation.
Yay!
After the White House. Across the street, the land that was once a barren field is crammed with souvenir shops and all things Elvis, including a diner that calls itself the Heartbreak Hotel.
Been there, done that.
The real Heartbreak Hotel, of course, is up on the hill, in Elvis's mausoleum of a bedroom, a place where everyone who ever spent much time found himself so lonely, they could die. Downstairs, the desk clerk is dressed in black, but Elvis Presley, the most envied American male of his time, has found a new place to dwell.
Oh, man.
So that's
kind of sad in a way, but oh, so funny during getting to the sad part.
Oh, but Peter.
Oh, man, I'm real sorry about leaving that in the bed. Y'all get on home now.
Hey, Red, look. She has dirt under her toenails, man. Get her out of here.
That's an automatic rejection. You know that, Red. Where's my fleet enema?
Where's my mama's nightgown?
There's no way we should ever run out. I got trunks of them.
Diana Ross came on to me, man. I couldn't picture having sex with a black woman. I had to drive as fast as I could.
I'm just a big old bigot, man. Hey, cut loose. Yeah.
All right.
Boy, that's some good Elvis stuff right
there. All right. Love that Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
Love that Elvis. Oh, and Elvis was my friend. Yeah, play that and we'll get out of here.
Elvis was my friend.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Kathy, was it a design decision? Did you sit down with Frank one day, years back, and say, I am going to talk about my family every day?
No, it's just, you've been on our show many times, Larry. You know, we just talk about what's happened in our life the day before. My life is home with the big guy and, you know, the human love machine and the two kids. What are you going to do? About my life.
The Don and Mike Show. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Oh, and listen, about Wipeout.
Yes.
We never got to see that guy blow his brains out on television last night that was reported late in our show.
As I predicted on this show, I figured that you weren't going to be able to see that because, you know, they would take the angle that they all took, which was the, we're so sorry.
You know, and I got to give it up. I'll give you props.
Okay.
Props to Mike.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I thought there would be one broadcast outlet that would be lower than the rest.
You know, the only way you could have gotten that, and I was mentioning this yesterday, remember the old big dishes, you know, before the DSS came in?
Right.
I used to have one of the big dishes that you had, and you have what were called wild feeds, and this is raw tape that...
Wild, man.
Wild, that they send to each other, and, they, you know, it goes through the satellites, and those things... They have everything, and it's uncut because it's not for broadcast, so you don't have to worry about it, and you could catch those. And I bet there were some wild feeds.
Cannon says he saw on the 10 o'clock news locally last night, on the Fox 10 o'clock news, they showed the tape, according to Cannon.
Oh, and no one called me?
I guess not.
You know, I don't believe that. Cannon, I bet that they showed the tape. Here's what I saw, like everybody that didn't see
the tape. They showed a lot of the tape. They just
see the tape of the guy setting his car on fire, see the tape of the guy putting out his banner, whatever he was against, Beanie Babies or whatever. You see the guy running around and his pants are on fire.
And that's when they, at that moment, I was watching and I said, oh my God, they're going to do that. And immediately they cut to the anchor. We saw the same thing going, I am so sorry.
This guy, Joe Dickweed or whatever his name is, one of those pretty boys from the station in L.A.
Right.
We can't show you what happened. I want to take this moment to sincerely apologize. I apologize, and I've asked to join me on the telephone psychologist Saul Rabinowitz. And that's exactly what the lead was on the KNBC News last night.
You know, and to me, really, if you want to just see the ultimate hypocrisy, it's these guys getting on there and saying, hey, we are so sorry. What the hell? They show these chases every day.
Yeah.
This is, you know somewhere in those newsrooms, there's the guy that's in the back room going,
oh,
right.
Wow, this is gold, baby. Because
people really watch it the next time it happens.
Sure.
Hell, we had a great time just listening about it on this show. I must tell you, though, I had a momentary, I hate it when this happens to me, just the smallest pang, a twang of a little guilt.
Yes.
When I was watching the coverage of that whole event today on the Today Show.
When they were really remorseful.
When they were really like, man, that's awful. People shouldn't have seen that.
Right.
And I flash back to yesterday's show when it was happening.
Sure.
And when people were calling us, and we were playing our Phyllis Diller laugh sound effects and playing the gunshots, and we were laughing.
Sure.
But then it passed. Mm-hmm. Like it lasts 2 seconds.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Then I still thought, damn, I wish I could have seen it. Did they really show him put the gun in his mouth?
I saw the original thing. I just saw the from far away, and I said, did I just see what I thought I saw? And my wife saw the original thing when it happened. She said, oh, yeah, that was it. And that was the only place.
They showed him put the gun in his mouth on Channel 5?
It was kind of far. It was farther away. I mean, that was
hey, I know this is morbid and all, but can we get a copy of that tape?
Somebody, the guy that called yesterday, the first guy, said he had it on tape, and he was going to... Remember, he couldn't work his rewind, the very first guy that we had?
That's right.
And we were going to have him call in with him, and he didn't call back. But he had it on tape. Supposedly, he had the live thing on tape, and then they were just doing the high road. It just doesn't make any sense.
And the worst thing is the guy, the Captain Numbnuts, who's up in the Channel 4 copter.
Right.
You know, the guy with the Raleigh fingers mustache.
Big wax mustache.
If there's ever a guy that you don't want to respect in any capacity, it's a guy with a snidely whiplash mustache.
Here I am flying high above L.A.
Yeah. Very sorry that we were showing you that today.
Yeah, even though he did everything.
I'm Captain Jim. Let me get a little closer so you can see him actually put the gun in his mouth.
And what is the difference between that and when you see the guys that come out of the bank with the body armor? Remember that famous one where they're just wailing away at the cops with these automatic weapons?
I guess because here's the rationalization. Because they're bad guys and they're firing at the cops.
Right.
The cops shooting them. Hey, that's how justice should work. That's how you justify that. This is just some idiot.
Those weren't quite as graphic either.
I put a gun in his mouth. Man, I wish we could have seen it.
This was graphic, apparently, that they were, they were pretty tight on the guy when he decided to.
Yeah.
And it happened very suddenly, and everybody was caught by surprise. You know, they could still cover these with a delay, a slight delay, so if something really bad happened, they could go away.
And you know what? That's where the decision would be. Yeah. Imagine you're the guy running the TV station. You've just seen a guy blow his head off, and you have to decide, do I delete that?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if I'm that guy, I'll let it go.
Well,
as demonstrated on this show, anybody wants to come down to our show today to blow their head off,
oh, God.
We will let you. We will let you do it right here in our studios.
I just didn't understand how they were reacting. That it didn't seem to coincide with the coverage they have. Which
of course it didn't.
It's become almost one time a week you get an entire newscast that's somebody chasing the bad guys.
And listen, last night was a total bummer. I didn't get to see the guy blow his head off. And what is Jerry Seinfeld smoking or injecting in his veins?
And he had laryngitis last night, too.
That show, Seinfeld.
Do you hear him with his,
a third of the way into the show?
Not funny.
No voice.
Right.
Not funny.
Yeah.
And, gee, what was part of the plot again? Jerry gets laid.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry gets laid with a beautiful girl.
And the maid is not cleaning Jerry's house. Yes, self-serving.
Right.
Wow.
Well, listen, you want to hear? I imagine some of you folks out there fancy us here. Your radio lads as like celebrities.
Radio fancy lads.
Huh? Yeah. You want to hear my big celebrity night last night?
Oh, boy.
You know, that kind of pinnacle then with not being able to see the guy blow his head off in the bed, Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Come home last night. Get home. My wife's not there. She's doing something at my kid's school.
Right.
At least that's what she's telling me most nights this week. So she's not at home. And... Oh, at least one night earlier this week, my son made dinner.
Right. Yeah, I remember that. He was grilling for you, right?
Right. So she said she's going to be gone last night by the time I get home and that Bart would be making dinner. I get home and here's what I walk into. First off, the kitchen. All the same stuff that was there yesterday morning at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Pancake stuff. Dirty plates.
Right.
The newspaper from the day before, which has now got the new paper piled on top of it. Just... piles of crud everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I get in and I go, hey, I'm home. The dogs are howling. Three dogs are howling. The German Shepherd's chasing the cat around. And I yell upstairs and I go, hey, Bart, where are you? And he comes down and he says, Dad,
I'm doing my report on Germany. Now,
sure.
Naturally.
Did you take pause when he said that?
You know what the name of his report is, as offered by me? Never again. My report on Germany by Bart, 7th grade.
Very good.
No, he's been doing a project. It's like his end-of-year project on Germany.
Social studies.
I and it's, do, it, it's due, I guess, maybe today or right. on Monday or something. Right. So he's working feverishly on it, and he says, I haven't had time to look at dinner, and, you know, Mom left, and everything's a mess, and I just want to do my schoolwork. I said, all right, I will fix the dinner. Mm-hmm. So I go downstairs and I start to fix the dinner.
Right.
And I'm standing there and I'm tossing the salad, as a matter of fact.
So you're tossing your own salad?
Yeah, I was tossing my salad and tossing my son's salad.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
Proceed, please.
You know what I mean.
Yes, of course.
I'm really tossing the salad.
I understand.
I'm using those tong things. Mm-hmm.
Good Seasons?
No, Ken's.
Ken's! Oh.
Ken's Light.
God love him. You know, a lot of people don't realize that not only does he run these radio stations, but he makes a heck of a salad dressing.
So I'm doing this, and I'm just looking at the filth that's surrounding me in my kitchen, and I smell something I've smelled before. And then it becomes a search, because now I know the dog has dropped a load somewhere. And I can't.
That's the worst because it's so powerful.
It's everywhere at once, and I can't pinpoint. I'm walking around the kitchen like this going. And because it's the little dog.
You have no idea.
Max, the little terrier.
Yeah.
He can climb anywhere. He can take a crap anywhere.
You have no idea where it is. Could be in the middle of your bed for all you know.
So I ended up spending the next 20 minutes on my hands and knees all over looking for it. And I'm at my wit's end. I don't know where it is. Yeah. I go back by the sink. And you know how sometimes something's right in front of your face?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like 2 feet behind me in a perfect pile of coils that go up and up and up like a snake charmer thing.
Right.
There's this big sloppy poop. It had been like a foot behind me the whole time. But I had not noticed.
See, you panicked. You went into panic mode immediately just trying to seek it out and find out exactly where it was. And you probably walked right by it.
Now the gag reflex... Really kicking in now.
Sure. Did it affect your salad at all?
I am there, literally, like, dry heaving.
Oh, God.
Having to lean over and, you know, take care of this. And I go, oh, this is so bad. And I kick the dogs outside. I wash my hands like I have never washed my hands before. I make the dinner. Bart comes down. He has dinner. We have dinner. Then he wants to go back upstairs and finish his report.
Good.
You know, the whole time I'm saying to myself, I'm a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
This is my charmed life.
Right.
I start cleaning up the kitchen, cleaning up the mess from the morning, and now I'm noticing a new smell.
What was that?
This is the smell that is dog vomit.
Oh.
Which came from, I swear to God, in between the time that I cleaned up one dog's poop and made dinner and cleaned up the kitchen, the other dog, the Springer Spaniel,
Brandy,
got sick. And just puke all over the place.
I fear for Brandy now. You're not even mentioning your poor Brandy by name anymore. The other dog, the Springer Spaniel. You never referred to Brandy like that before.
Sorry.
That dog is on the outs.
Sorry.
Yeah. I know.
Maybe I'm joining my wife's club. You know, I think Frida coined the phrase, we're waiting for her to die. Oh,
that dog, the other dog, the one with the spots.
She puked. All over the place.
Because had she gotten into some people?
I don't know.
Very, very sick.
Yeah. I don't know.
There's Brandy's voice right now as we envision it.
Yeah. So in all of this happening within, like, I don't know, an hour. I got home last night a little before 8 o'clock.
Hello.
Hi, honey.
Well, hi, my boo-boo.
So all of this is happening. Finally, everything's done. A puke cleaned up. Poop cleaned up. Germany project almost completed. Good. Dinner done.
Vomit gone.
Sit down. Don't see the guy blow his head off. Mm. Bad Jerry Seinfeld.
Terrible. I bailed out early on it.
And then, I don't know, about 9:30, you know, Pollyanna came home. And she comes through there and goes, hi, how are things here tonight? Hello, honey.
Well, you're more than welcome to go to any school function that you want to go to. I mean, I wasn't out... You know, with Chippendale dancers or anything.
Well, that's what I'd like some verification of, because it's been many nights this week that you are conveniently away,
mm-hmm.
and last night you left the house in total disrepair.
Well, I know. I had a bunch of stuff to do at school. I'm being the mom.
Oh, my God. But I was doing everything last night.
Well.
I was doing the total package last night. Cook, clean, vomit, poo, Germany, get the kid to bed. The total package yesterday.
You were a good dad yesterday.
Yeah. Well, it could have been worse because today, when I came home and you had cooked steaks on the grill, so I gave the dogs the bones. And I realized today that the little dog is too much of a baby to eat bones because it was diarrhea.
Listen, our house probably smells real good right now.
Yeah.
For the last 24 hours.
Bring some of that citrus stuff home.
Yeah. Yeah, you know I should.
Yeah. The little baby bottles that we got.
Some of that free spray. Oh, I love you.
Well, I love you too, boo-boo.
All right. Yeah.
Good.
Right on. Just psyching myself up to come back home tonight.
I'll be here. And the house will be spotless, and I'll be wearing my apron and pearls, and I'll have a martini in my hand.
Right.
I'll be good again.
All right, that's the fantasy world.
Yeah.
Okay, honey.
All right, boo-boo.
I know I was going to ask you about Brandy.
Yeah?
Have you noticed her being sicker recently because she had that violent episode last night?
I haven't really noticed Brandy much yesterday.
Oh, this is so sad. You guys don't like your Brandy anymore.
I tried to give her to my parents because she's old and they're old and it seemed like a good match.
It could be a nice contest to see who's going to live longer, your parents or the dog.
Yeah, Frida, you know, a minute ago, Frida, Don said the other dog, the Springer Spaniel,
yeah.
Didn't even mention, you know, Brandy's been in your family for how many years now and he referred to it as the other dog.
No, yesterday I took the two young dogs, the two dogs we like to school with me.
You know, and sometimes I get mad at the little dog, but he's so cute I can't get mad at him.
Right.
But like when I'm cleaning up his poop and when you have to follow him around because he's such a little dog, he's like a little baby and he's always out of control chewing on stuff like electrical wires.
Right.
You know, I keep walking around with him. I say to myself, this is not my dog.
Mm-hmm.
This was not supposed to be the deal. We're supposed to get the dog and it was supposed to be like non-existent to me.
Is he sleeping in a crate?
Yeah.
He is? Okay.
Well, yeah.
What's really sad, did you tell Mike that last weekend when I was at the beach and I went to that yard sale, I bought a little Snuggly to carry the dog in. So
like a thing you would carry your baby.
Yeah, well, it was a baby.
This is the kind of thing that wraps around your neck and you hold the dog down like one of those Guatemalan papooses.
Yeah.
Like my wife thinks she's Zsa Zsa Gabor. She carries around like a handbag and it carries this dog in the handbag.
It's my midlife crisis baby.
Verdell, the little dog. As good as it gets.
I mean, I love the little dog, but part of the arrangement that we had when we got the little dog was that, like, and Frida and I had this discussion, didn't we?
Yeah. Well, I know that you're not supposed to be bothered by it, but you should have had more children because I catch you all the time holding the little dog talking baby talk.
Oh, I told you. He pisses me off, but I love him. He's a nice little dog.
You had said you didn't want to touch poo when the little dog came along into the family. Said you wouldn't have anything to do with that.
Came very well last night.
Yeah.
Perfectly formed coil. What was that noise I just heard?
That's Bart.
What was the noise?
He was throwing away something. He was throwing something in the trash when I was walking by.
All right.
I'm putting away laundry.
That's good. That's what I like here. Now he's happy.
Getting back to normal.
Very nice.
I'm holding your undies as I speak.
Beautiful.
All right. Good.
Hey, pick up a pair of those and comment right now. Comment on them.
Random pair?
A random pair. And don't you torpedo me, honey. Pick out a random pair and describe the level of cleanliness.
Well, after they're washed or before?
I think after.
Oh, well, after there's been Clorox involved, they're nice and bright and white.
Clorox. How much Clorox do you buy?
You don't Clorox my underpants.
Hey, I don't? Call my mother. Get my, you know, she does your underpants at the beach.
That is the most embarrassing thing.
She told me last week.
Swear to God.
We're running low on Clorox. It was an emergency Clorox.
You want to have no self-esteem.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Be 40 years old, buy a place next to your parents, your in-laws.
Oh, man.
And then your wife lets your mother-in-law over there to do your laundry.
I had to go to Price Club because, you know, the little bottles of Clorox weren't enough.
All right.
I had to get one of those Price Club bottles.
All right. I love you.
All right. Love you, too.
I'll see you. Goodbye.
Goodbye. She did torpedo.
Yeah.
You asked her not to, and she did anyway.
She should just stay at home, take care of the kids, take care of the dogs.
Excuse me. God.
Dinner on the table at 8.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I was thinking you might want to have a contest, give away your dog to the best home that could be possible.
That would ensure a happy ending to give that wonderful dog to one of you people.
Yeah, we do that, and that dog ends up at somebody's dinner.
No, listen, I love that dog. It's just too many dogs. I got too many dogs.
Yeah, I take them. I got too many, too.
Okay, right on.
Right on. See you, Donnie.
Bye-bye.
That's our first idea caller of the day.
Hello. Maybe I'm kind of giving my wife
Donna
away.
Mike.
Hello. It'll
just be you,
hey,
and the dogs and Bart.
Guys.
And then I'm kind of giving the dogs away. And then when it's me and Bart, that's when we hit courtship of Eddie's father time. We start double dating when he gets into high school.
Hey, son, who you bringing home tonight? All right, daddy's ready.
Hello?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, hi.
Hey, did you guys catch Kathy C today?
Yeah, I watched a little of it today.
Oh, yeah.
After Don selling it yesterday, I had to watch that show today.
Monday is going to be the day, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, listen, what is wrong with Kathy Lee Gifford, do you think? I mentioned that yesterday she wore that I Dream of Jeannie outfit and was sticking her boobs out on her show.
She's undersexed.
Then today she announced to Regis, who, you know, looks at her like, what are you doing?
Regis, who lately is just trying to be as asexual as he can. There was a day when Regis used to really fawn over Kathy when she'd turn on the charm. Now he does this thing like, oh, yeah, you know, she's talking about the dog collar, and Regis says, yeah, then I'll strangle you. And it's like, come on, Regis.
What she said today is that on Monday's show, she's going to dress up like a dominatrix.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and this is with no prompting from anybody.
Tighter the better. That's what she said. She said, make it really, really tight.
Yep.
Man,
wow. I think she dug that Dream of Jeannie outfit. And
I told you she looked so good in that.
Yes, she did.
You didn't think so? You didn't share my...
No, I shared your...
Why?
She looked good. She looked good, but...
But?
Without that...
Right, she's got a butt, I'll give you that.
Without that push-up bra, I really think you're talking about the granny from Playboy magazine.
Wow. I don't think so.
I think
her trophies
straight down to the ground.
I think Kathy Lee's trophies would stand up, would stand the test of time.
But they looked great in that outfit.
Oh,
and
my God,
I wish, you know, the only thing I was thinking is when they showed the little clip of it today, I wish I had been there the day before to linger, because it was probably, a good 15 minutes when she was wearing that outfit.
She wore it for the whole first segment. And she kept holding her stomach in and sticking her chest out.
And if she's going to wear a dominatrix, I'll tune in for that. That sounds great.
She almost poked Regis's eye out one time. Yeah, but he's very uptight about it. He does not like that turn in the show.
No, he doesn't, and I don't get it. Maybe it's just Regis has lost interest.
Hey, but did you also notice that when... they start talking about the dominatrix and everything. All of a sudden, she starts talking about women's rights and him being called master and all that. You know that?
Well, you know, that's where Kathy Lee's stupidity really plays out, where she's just not bright enough to know that, you can be hypocritical, but don't do it one right after the other.
Right.
Don't come out and say you want to dress and stick your boobs out and call Regis Philbin master, and then you want to whip him and wear leather, and then in the next breath, say how women should have rights and women should stand up for themselves.
She wants it all. She wants it all. There's the bad girl that wants to be, dominated and probably the home fires aren't burning that brightly.
You know, just not bright enough, though.
Yep.
Just not smart enough to figure out, listen, if you're going to do the sex thing, do the sex thing, but that means the trade-off is you can't have the patronizing applause from the audience when you make a statement that's so broad-sweeping no one could disagree with it.
Well, although I'm enjoying this, I think she is on tremendously dangerous ground here. She is going to alienate her core audience of women in sweatsuits.
We'll keep calling, Mike.
You know that. She's going to be, if she does this too much, it's going to be, oh, there she goes again. You know, and those are her core fans. I mean, it's not like, the guys are out here kind of going, yeah, look at her in the outfit, but we really don't care about her.
Maybe that's why Regis is not reacting. Maybe he's trying to torpedo her.
Hey, come on now, knock it off, please. Do you want to lose all our ratings? You coming out here like a whore? Like a common whore? Come on, put something on.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
That's when I said I'm going, how dare he? Make my own child question my integrity.
The Don and Mike Show. Most all gays listen. The Don and Mike Show.
You know, there's a part of me that still thinks
this is still gifts punishment.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, everybody's forgotten about that, but you know that Kathy C.
Sure.
Emphasis on C. Gifford.
Never forget.
You know that she goes on, did you see the outfit I had on tonight, Frank?
You know what it probably was? It was a fight. You know, he might have gotten fed up and said something like, that was, that was a little revealing. You know the way he
what's
does
that sound
that?
Cody's
a very...
it's not quite, it's almost like
strangulated, you know.
Hey, Rob, where's that tape about,
Cody's a public.
All right, let's listen to this speech problem that Frank Gifford has.
Frank, was there any trepidation on your part to...
Hi, Frog.
A little concern about a lot of people don't want to talk about their children publicly.
Yeah, a little bit. I must say that, Larry, but,
but, and there was a preamble to it. There was a...
Right. Cody is a...
but he's probably having a fight with her saying, I thought you were a little too revealing on the show. And she's like, oh, you did you, mister?
All right, well, maybe I would have listened to you before you boned Susan Johnson.
I'm going to wear the I Dream of Jeannie outfit, Mr. Man.
She also mentioned about, you know... She mentioned that, you know...
What was that?
What is that?
People in the store. We're at Subway.
Oh, are these the Subway guys?
Yeah.
What, somebody like, you know, did you get the BMT going down the windpipe or what? What was that?
That sounded like a dog. You're not serving dog sandwiches, are you?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
Actually, you never know. What she mentioned about, you know, about the after the master thing, she says it's all right to, you know, love guys and respect them. Of course, you know, only guys that deserve to be loved. There's a little bite right in there at...
Sure. Wouldn't it be great to give her a pill one day where she could only say the truth?
Mm.
And let her come out and do the show like that with Regis?
Oh, what a fantasy.
The only thing to make that more perfect is she had to do the show naked. You know what? You know who's on TV tonight? Do you remember that... That hypnotist that we had on the show?
Oh, yeah. Tom Silver.
Remember that guy we had him on about a year ago?
Yeah, I went to see him.
He's got...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. That's right. You went for, like, kind of counseling or something.
Huh.
Why did you go to see him?
Because of Fear of Flying. Remember the flying
thing? Right.
Oh, not a show. You went to be treated by it.
Right.
Didn't work. Still staring at a double vodka tonic my next flight.
He's got a show on CBS tonight.
Does he really?
CBS.
Wow.
Hypnotized! Mm-hmm. Exclamation point. Hypnotized. Ordinary people perform outrageous feats after being hypnotized.
Mm-hmm. What he did was he had me go out into a hallway and listen to a tape.
Yeah.
So I get up to this room that he's got. Hotel room.
Was your butt bleeding?
He gave me a tape to listen to in the hallway. He said, this will relax you and get you into a pre-hypnotic state. Okay. So I listened to the tape, and as I'm listening to the tape, I'm overhearing the ladies that were, like, in his office going, you know,
okay, when would you like your appointment?
And I'm, you know, Mr. Concentration. I can't concentrate with this seat that's specifically designed for me to go into a pre-hypnotic state. I can't concentrate on it because the ladies are saying, all right, Tuesday is not really bad. And meanwhile, I'm listening to the tape where he's saying, all right. Think wonderful, wonderful thoughts. And meanwhile, I'm just all confused.
I'm Tom Silver. Well, he's got a network TV show tonight.
How about that?
Doesn't that beat all?
Sure does.
When did he sign his deal with Lucifer?
He had a little of that Lucifer look to him, remember?
Yeah, he's kind of demonic. Mm-hmm. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi.
Hey, speaking of demonic, I got a shout out to my favorite account executive, Madonna.
Oh, yes.
A really awkward meeting we had with Madonna today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's one of the ladies that works here selling our show. We've discussed her before.
Yes.
And she told us today, whenever we talk about her, that her dad, who's a fan of the show, listens.
Right, absolutely.
We're going to say hey to Madonna's dad.
Way to go, Madonna's dad.
Sure. Boy, oh boy.
A little awkward, though.
Madonna doesn't like me. I don't know if she doesn't like you, but she doesn't like me. To her credit, she goes out there and sells our show every day.
She does a good job.
Yeah. But, you know. She just doesn't like me.
I get that vibe. Okay. I get that vibe from her.
Right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, frankly, I don't care enough.
It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Like, all right, you don't like me. I don't like you.
Whatever.
Hi. You know, we say hello. We exchange pleasantries.
Felt a little tense.
Forced as it may be.
Right.
Well, today, we're in there with, you know those juice guys? Nantucket Nectars?
Oh, great juices. Yes, Nantucket Nectars.
Right. Well, they're coming on board.
Oh,
right.
Great.
The big sponsor of our show.
Excellent.
So, we had a meeting with one of those juice guys today.
Cool guy.
And, yeah, he's a very nice guy.
and Madonna was in the room, and because of the dynamic of the way the meeting was going, Madonna kept having to be real nice to me. And it was real awkward, because like she'd have to smile and look up and say, oh yeah, they've got a really good show. I love the show. They really really do the job. Look at her aunt with that smile the whole time. I know. She really just hates my guts.
Well, have you ever had any real confirmation of the hatred? Have you ever had anything?
I think at a Christmas party.
Oh.
At some point,
see, I knew
really.
You wouldn't say that.
And maybe it wasn't from her. Maybe it was from her husband, Cliff.
So something happened where you are pretty sure that...
Yeah. I don't remember what it was. But I was at a party, at a Christmas party, and I got some confirmation about that. But she doesn't hide it.
No, she's a tough lady.
It's pretty apparent, right?
Well, the way I read Madonna is that she goes about her business, and she's not a schmoozer. You know what I mean? She's not going to schmooze you. She's going to come down the hall and go, hello, and then she'll occasionally, with me, make a joke. But the joke is usually something like, you know, hey, you look like you're going to die today, you know, and then she'll come walking down. So that's her, and I never really, but you think that she's got a real...
Well, every time I see her, it's like this. Hello, Don. Come on, you've seen it, Mike. You've seen it a million times. Yeah. And she'll, for I've you, it. It'll be, hi, you know, not much more energy, but it's enough to, hi, Mike. Hello, Don.
Well, that's all right.
Mm-hmm. She's a good sales lady.
I'd love to know what happened, though, where you actually...
I don't know. Maybe I said something to her sometime. Well, that's always a possibility when it's me.
Yeah, and you say Christmas party, you never know.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a very awkward dynamic we had today, because I guess the main thing in that meeting is to make sure the guy from Nantucket Nectar's, that he's happy.
Right. Thinks we're okay guys.
Yeah, and
he was easy to talk to. He was no problem at all.
The funny part was when there would be a momentary lag in the conversation.
That's right.
When Madonna would have to pick the ball up and get the ball rolling. Right. And it was at those times that I would just stare at her with a big smile on my face. Like,
sure.
And what I'm thinking is, I could talk here.
Right.
I could say something here to facilitate the conversation.
Right.
But, hey, Madonna, I'm not going to.
And, you know, for our money on Friday, the end of the week, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to get the A game. No. It's just not going to happen up there. I felt the same way. You know, there were a couple of times. Remember when he starts talking to you right away?
Right.
You had something in common with him, and I'm like, I just looked down at the floor.
You tuned out. I know you tuned out.
And then I forced a conversation with Madonna, like, you know, Madonna's with child, and I'm like, how you doing? How you feeling? When's the baby due? And then... after that would stop, I'd simply look back down at the floor and wait till I was spoken to,
yes.
As you did. You waited till you were spoken to. And then I asked the guy about his business, you know, which I hope didn't appear too forced.
No, it was a nice softball.
It was a very nice softball, and it was not... Oh, God.
They sell a lot of juice.
Yes, yeah. They do.
He was a good guy.
He was a very good guy.
Do you think he could tell, you know, that Madonna hates me?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, absolutely not.
I don't think it matters.
I don't think a lot of people can tell. I think that's between you and Madonna. I mean, we're talking...
I think, no.
I don't think it's... do you think it's naked hatred?
Yeah. Really? There may be a step below naked hatred. Maybe semi-nude hatred. Yeah, maybe... thank you, Buzz. Maybe topless hatred.
Do you think it's as... do you think there's as much hate there as there is the British lady for us?
No. No.
That's the one that...
The hate that Donna has for us is unsurpassed.
Donna looks at me, you know, when I say, hi, how are you? And we have that, you know, hello. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like a hello, and it's as civil can be. But behind that, it's like, I know what you said about my husband coming in early to pick me up.
And shouldn't hang around so much.
And, you know, we've both gone up on that, that's what I really feel it from her.
Well, then maybe it's almost the opposite, because with Donna,
right.
I would say I have at least a civil relationship where there is a hint of an actual smile in the voice. When I'll say, hey, how you doing? She go, hello, you know, that British way. Yeah. Hello, your wife called.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. See.
So maybe his turnaround is on those two.
You get that. I don't get that from Donna. Yeah. I don't get that.
I got it tougher getting the hatred from Madonna. I'd rather take the hatred from Donna than the hatred from Madonna any day of the week, because Madonna is a professional. I mean that. Oh. She's rough, man.
Gives you the evil eye.
Hey, hold on there for a second. Are you on the phone?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Hey, Rob?
Yeah.
Come here. Let me ask you an honest question.
Sure.
Have you noticed the non-chemistry between myself and Madonna ever?
No.
Really?
Really.
How about you, Buzz?
I have, yes, definitely.
I know you have, Mike. Oh, yes, I've seen it. You know, you've expressed it to me, too, a number of times. You're aware of it.
It disturbs you. It does. Whether you want to admit it or not.
Her line's busy.
It bothers you. For what reason, I do not know, but it does bother you. You've mentioned it a couple of times.
Well, I've only mentioned it because most people, and I'm guessing there's a large amount of people here that hate me. It's okay. But most of them aren't open about it. You know what I mean? Most of them are two faces.
Right.
To my face would say, hey, man, you're the greatest. You're so funny. You're so... And then as soon as I leave the room, they go, that guy's such a dick.
Right.
I hate that guy. But
I'm trying to go through the files now.
But Madonna doesn't even try.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Just like, I see her, daggers.
How do you feel that Steve Johnson feels about you and me?
I think Steve Johnson's unbalanced.
Okay.
And I think, therefore, it's... You can't really track Steve Johnson.
Yeah. All right.
Steve Johnson may be an alien. I think he likes me. I would put Steve Johnson down as one of the likers.
You guys,
at least for me, I can't speak for you.
Yeah, he confuses me.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Mm-hmm. That's about as nice as I'm going to be.
Let me see. Who really hates me here?
Where's the person?
You know, you're going to have trouble finding on that list after you get by that one individual that we were talking
Madonna,
about.
Madonna. And then Donna.
Yeah.
Two separate people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right, maybe you're right.
No, not that. I mean, really, the...
Oh, Mitch Johnson hates me.
No way.
Oh, yeah, that's a long-seated hatred.
Really?
From when we used to argue with his wife when we worked at the other station.
Oh. No, we hate Mitch Johnson much more than he hates us.
It might be fair.
Really?
It might be an even match.
Okay, all right.
Don't you remember how we used to get on his wife, and we wouldn't even... You know the way that I'm talking about how Madonna treats us?
Right.
That's the way that we used to be about Mitch's wife.
That's
don't
right.
you remember?
That's right. You still think that's lingering?
Do you think she's forgotten?
I have no idea. I don't know.
I put him down on the list.
All right.
Okay, let me see. Let me keep going. Well, no, that's it. You know what? Half these people have been fired, I just realized.
Yeah.
We need a more current list.
The revolving door continues to fly rapidly.
All right, let me try Madonna, then we can just stop this topic.
Yes, we can put this to bed.
There we go. Call her right now.
Get this all on the table.
Because that's the way things get worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Maybe I'll ask her to that big staff get-together lunch.
That's right. The big lunches that are coming out where everybody brings their own dish.
Duh.
We got in trouble for that, too, you know. With a couple of people said, what's the big deal with that? Come on, why are you guys making fun of that? Because everybody brings their own dish. That's why.
I don't want to eat the food that's prepared by anybody that works here. No offense. And you folks should feel the same about me. Who knows where these fingers have been?
Sure. You see that stalker show last night on Fox?
Sure did, Mike. As soon as Jerry Seinfeld went bad.
Yeah, man. That was the only good thing about Seinfeld going bad.
See how much she hates me? She won't even answer her telephone.
Wow. Yeah, because she knows you're calling.
But undaunted, I'll continue.
It's official.
Good for you.
My life will go on, and so will the life of Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
A partnership that's made by money.
Of course.
Yep. We do the show. She sells the show.
Hold Highly on. Pragmatic.
Hold on. Here is Canon Grace.
I did some investigating, and she's cowering in Marilyn's office. And so I knocked on the door. I said, you want to talk?
Why is she cowering?
You are a sneaky guy. For a guy that won't wear a dress, you are very, very sneaky. You know, I don't. That's very great initiative there, Cannon. That's good.
Listen, I want to make it clear. I don't dislike. Well, all right, maybe I do dislike. I don't hate Madonna. You know what I mean? I just I get the vibe that she doesn't like me, so I'm not. Very open.
Mm-hmm.
I think
to any advances she would make my way towards friendship.
I think Madonna, you might have overestimated because I
here she is now.
Here comes Madonna.
Were you cowering?
Oh. I don't cower for anybody.
He said
what?
That.
Oh, I know. I
Cannon
heard him.
Said that.
I heard him.
Hi, Madonna.
Hi, guys.
Wait, Cannon, we can't hear you. You're not on microphone.
What'd you say?
When I asked Marilyn if she was in there, and I had already seen you in there, she said, "Oh no, she's not here." So that's why I said cower.
But that's not cowering, Cannon.
Cannon, you have no idea who you've angered here.
Yeah. Hi, Madonna.
Hi, Don.
Good meeting today.
Thank you, sir.
It was a real good meeting, I thought.
Yes, yes.
Did you feel the awkward tension that Mike and I felt?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. All right, so you didn't feel a little tension in there, no?
Why do you hate me?
Like a boy, she's looking at him.
Why do you hate me?
Don thinks you hate him.
Why do you hate me?
You've hated me the whole time you worked here. Why do you hate me?
Well, I don't hate you, Don. I love you.
No, you don't.
Could anyone really work here and hate you?
Everybody does. You're just very bad at hiding it.
To be honest, I just don't care.
Well, she's on.
All right.
There you go. You don't care about either one of us, do you, really? I mean, you go down the hallway and you kind of just go about your business, right?
You don't really affect me.
That is a Madonna comment right there. Yep. That is classic Madonna right there.
You want to say hi to your dad?
Yeah, hi, Dad.
He listens. You meant that, right? You weren't just lying?
Oh, loves it.
Oh, he does listen to the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, who knows? You know, now that I think about it, you could have been lying about that just to get the guy from Nantucket Nectars to buy commercials.
No, I could have been, couldn't I?
Oh,
she's good.
All right, Madonna.
I could have been.
Okay. See you around.
Thank you, Don.
Bye-bye.
There she goes. I would like to point out to our listening audience that she gave us nothing.
No change whatsoever.
No change whatsoever.
Yeah. What'd I tell you?
Yep.
I'm not an insensitive ball of water here. I have feelings.
You bleed. And Cannon tonight's going to turn his car on and it's going to go.
We'll be right back. Sorry, we're out of time.
Till we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.